You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, December 29th, year of our Lord 2025. We won't be saying 2025 very much longer. I hope you had a much better Christmas than Trump. He spent it raging on social media, plotting for more wars. It must be the effect of the 12 days of Epstein and the documents you weren't supposed to see. Yeah, well, we'll talk about what's up for the new year. Happy new wars. That looks like that's what's on the menu. Also, there's some very important information about silver that we're going to talk about. It's been a great year for silver. But there may be some things that you need to be aware of that you might want to defend against. And speaking of defense, they've got Bill Gates and Albert Bourla, Mark Rutte, the usual suspects, you know. They've actually got a lawsuit in the Netherlands. And this lawsuit is about the bioweapon being, the Trump shot being a bioweapon, as I've said for the longest time. So we're going to talk about that as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, I really do hope that you had a nice Christmas. We did. We had the time off, as you know. And I couldn't very well make my staff work days that Trump was giving the people in Washington, D.C. off. I mean, Trump hates the federal workers, and he gave them Wednesday and Friday off last week. So I actually love my workers here, so I'm not going to make them work on those days that Trump gives them off. But I hope you had a good holiday weekend. It was a good time of rest for us. Well, Trump, unfortunately, wasn't resting himself. He delivered a deranged threat to TV networks and his Yuletide meltdown. Christmas Bah Trump Bug. Yeah, that's a headline from the Daily Beast. He wanted Stephen Colbert put to sleep. Euthanize him, I guess. Trump was not really in the Christmas spirit of peace on earth and goodwill to all. As a matter of fact, he's not really looking at peace on earth either. When you look at so he's got Zelensky at Mar-a-Lago trying to tamp that down. And that's a good thing. I don't want to have a war with Russia. Don't want to have World War III. Europe does, but I'm glad that Trump is pushing back on that. I hope they get that settled. However, if you look at these other places, Venezuela, Nigeria, other places, Trump is the warmonger-in-chief. Iran is now back on the menu as well. We'll talk about that coming up. So he had as Daily Beast calls it, a fiery festive rant in the wee hours of Christmas Eve. Ends it with Merry Christmas, however, right? launched one of his frequent tirades against American TV networks, claiming that they were all against him. CBS seemed to pander to the president's whims by spiking a story about the Trump administration deporting Venezuelan migrants to a notorious mega prison in El Salvador just 3 hours before it was due to air on Sunday's 60 Minutes. And of course, that's the new gatekeeper, Barry Weiss, that took that on to do that herself, lowering the journalistic standards there beyond what we have seen before. But again, understand that 60 Minutes was never really independent, not really a muckraker. They always had an agenda. It's just now that the agenda is pretty obviously in favor of the violence that Trump is doing everywhere, internally as well as foreign. So he said, if the network newscasts and their late night shows are almost 100% negative to President Donald J. Trump, always referring to himself and third party, then shouldn't their valuable broadcast licenses be terminated? I say yes. This has become a trope for him. He thinks that he can just censor whoever he wishes. And it's very interesting to see this battle shaping up in free speech. You've got Thierry Breton, I call him conspiracy theory, who came to the U.S. and threatened Musk when Musk bought Twitter. Said, you'll do what we say. And he was the guy that was really pushing through this DSA, Digital Services Act. And, of course, they have now moved against Musk with purported fines. And so the Trump administration pushed back on that. Good, good. I'm glad they did that. The problem is the Trump administration is guilty as well of censorship. And we're going to talk about that coming up. It is rank hypocrisy, what they're doing. How do you criticize the European Union when you decide that you are going to unilaterally shut down news organizations or bankrupt them with your lawfare lawsuits? And it's not just that either. It's a censorship that's being done for the state of Israel. You're not allowed to criticize a foreign government. Where is that in the Constitution? Is there an exception in the First Amendment that I didn't catch about not criticizing certain foreign governments? Well, the Colbert's program is currently in reruns. Trump was really torqued out about it, and again, you know, gets on his high horse about it. And Barry Weiss censoring that at 60 Minutes, the reporter behind the spiked story, said if the standards for airing a story becomes the government must agree to be interviewed, then the government effectively gains control over the 60 Minutes broadcast. We go from an investigative powerhouse to a stenographer for the state. Well, they've been a stenographer for the state at CBS for a very long time, during the days of Walter Cronkite. It's called Operation Mockingbird. They hand you the script and you say it. And they weren't the only one either. In the days after Kimmel's show was suspended, he claimed 97% of the networks are against him. Well, he increased the ratings of Jimmy Kimmel. And then, not to be forgotten, he came after Thomas Massey. And this is the most amazing thing that Trump did, I think, over the weekend. He called Thomas Massey a lowlife. A lowlife for pushing to release the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Epstein documents. When Trump himself is trying to cover up his involvement, when Trump himself was the essential lowlife in the way he conducted his life when he was best friends with Jeffrey Epstein, and at other times as well. I mean, how in the world, look in the mirror when you're going to call somebody a lowlife. There's probably nothing more lowlife than we have seen than Donald Trump's personal conduct. So Massey was singled out on Christmas as a lowlife because he co-authored a law requiring the federal government to release the Epstein files and trying to help victims as well. So Trump posted on his so-called Truth Social platform. He said, the whole Epstein thing is a scam. How's that? Yeah. It is. But, and it is a hoax, but not in the way that he wants you to think it is. Massey, and he talked about, Massey called him a low-life Republican. So Massey said, imagine celebrating a blessed Christmas with your family, and suddenly phones alert everyone to the most powerful man in the world attacking you. Because you fulfilled his campaign promise to help victims. Yeah, it's, Massey also said all those with connections to Epstein must face the same kind of consequences as Andrew, Prince Andrew, or the man formerly known as Prince, who lost his British royal title as the Duke of York. And I guess he's the Duke of Earl. Over his ties to Epstein. So he says there's been a reckoning in Britain that needs to happen in the U.S. He said a prince lost his title, the ambassador of the U.S. lost his job, and we need to see those kinds of consequences here, he said. Well, Trump wasn't just focused on CBS and the press and Thomas Massey and the Epstein files, but he's also upset about the New York Times, calling them a threat to the national security of our nation as part of his late night rant. So how are they a threat to the national security? Well, if you understand that the nation is simply Donald Trump's interests, then national security becomes the interest of Trump. That's how they are a threat. The failing New York Times and their lies and their purposeful misrepresentations, a serious threat to the national security of our nation. I got to say this. You know, for the longest time, people have said patriotism is the refuge of a scoundrel, right? Or the last refuge. I have to say national security is the first refuge of a scoundrel government. Everything is about national security. I am so sick and tired of seeing that used as a shield against everything. And, of course, most of the time when it is being used as a shield, it's exactly like this. It's a shield to protect some corrupt politician from people seeing what they have done, or some corrupt organization like the CIA. They are the true enemy of the people. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Is it on? Anyway, the president made the post just days after the New York Times published an explosive article on Trump's former relationship the late-night sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. That's what I said at the beginning. This is the 12 days of Epstein. He's about had it, right? There's all these lords a-leaping on women and all the rest of this stuff, all the goosing, I guess, is going on. In the article titled Don's Best Friend, How Epstein and Trump Bonded Over the Pursuit of Women, they interviewed more than 30 former employees of Epstein, victims of sex offenders abuse, and others who crossed paths with Epstein and Trump. Beginning in the late 1980s, the two men forged a bond intense enough to leave others who knew them with the impression that they were each other's closest friend. Epstein was perhaps Trump's most reliable wingman. Epstein and his partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, allegedly introduced at least six women who have accused them of grooming or abuse. At least six women are introduced to Mr. Trump, including one minor. One victim told the newspaper she was coerced into attending four parties at Epstein's home. And two of them, she said Epstein directed her to have sex with other male guests. Trump attended all four, the women said. And so when you look at these documents that they put out, again, what is really interesting and funny about it is the fact that the people who put this stuff out really had no understanding of what they were doing with the documents. It's very similar. It reminds me of what happened with Obama and the birth certificate. There are questions about his birth certificate and who his father was and that type of thing. And so they put out a birth certificate that was essentially a Photoshop document with layers still there, and you could see how they had modified it. A similar thing happened with Trump, and I'm looking for it here, and I'm trying to, let's see. I don't see it there. Let's see. Yeah, I don't see the clip there, but it was a clip where you could, they demonstrated the fact that the document, and maybe fixed by now, I haven't looked at it. But the way they put the thing up, they put it up as a text document, again with layers, like the Obama birth certificate. And so if you typed in, and then they also, so you could drag through the files that they put up. If it was something as redacted, you could drag through it, copy it, paste it somewhere else, and it would get the text, but not the redacted bar that was there. They didn't flatten the document. And so you can see what they redacted. Very much like what we saw with the TSA and that lawsuit, except there they posted up on pacer.gov, which is a website that looks at, that they post the federal lawsuits on. First they posted the unredacted thing. We grabbed that before they changed it later that day. And then they put up the redacted one. So you just go back and compare the two and see what they didn't want you to know. Which was, by the way, the fact that in 2011, where they were threatening to shut down Texas as a no-fly zone because of the pushback in the Texas legislature against the pat-downs and the naked body scanners, you could see that at that very same time, the TSA itself said in internal documents that there was no threat against airports or airplanes. And of course you know that's the case because they they fail nearly 100% of the time. If there had been a threat, we would have had terrorist events happening. Because they weren't protecting anybody, but they were trying to protect the lies that that they were all about. And we're going to take a look at what's about to happen to travel in the U.S. as well. Yeah, they're locking us down little by little. The federal.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Government, instead of the don't tread on me, the federal government has now become a boa constrictor. And every time you breathe, it tightens up whenever you exhale. And so it's constant ratcheting down and tightening down to strangle us in every regard. And so what's happening with travel, what's going to happen with airport travel, has already gotten horrific. But that's not enough. They're not done yet. They've got a lot more to do. And they're beginning right now with these draconian measures at the border, but they will be a part of domestic flight as well. And, of course, the other countries are reciprocating. So it's going to be a global crackdown on travel. So that's one of the things that we can look forward to, I guess. But when you look at the documents, not only could you find what was there, but they'd gone to a great deal of trouble, even though they didn't understand they needed to flatten the document. They went to a great deal of trouble to make sure that they stopped any search for Trump. But if you typed in Trump with a space behind it, you could find over 600 times his name was mentioned. These lawyers were very busy over the run-up to the holidays. There must have been a lot of empty stockings they didn't have time to do any Christmas shopping, right? Because they're all busy trying to protect Trump with these documents. So he also tweets out to Democrats for Christmas, enjoy what may be your last Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all, including the many sleazebags who loved Jeffrey Epstein, gave him bundles of money, went to the island, attended his parties, and thought he was the greatest guy on earth. Are you talking about yourself, Trump? I mean, you thought he was the greatest guy on earth for 15 years. Give me a break. We're supposed to pretend that you weren't there? And, of course, that'll work with the alternative media covering for Trump and the delusional Trump supporters, as if he didn't know, as if he didn't party with Epstein all the time. So when the names get brought out, the ongoing radical left witch hunt plus one low-life Republican, Massey, and it's revealed that they're all Democrats, there will be a lot of explaining to do. Much like there was when it was made public that the Russian hoax was a fictitious story. Well, that's the strategy. Let's release as much information as we can about the Democrats, about Bill Clinton and so forth, right? And so it is a bait and switch. The president issued a separate Christmas message lashing out his political enemies on Christmas Eve. He said, we no longer look at all the accomplishments that we've done. We no longer have open borders like we did his entire 4 years. We no longer have men and women's sports or transgender for everyone. Well, again, he was the guy who wanted to bring in trannies for his beauty pageant. He was the first one who had a beauty pageant who wanted to have a tranny in it. Yeah, pretend that you're something else, Trump. And he says, and no inflation. Again, he just flat out lies, and you know that he's lying. So let's not forget what was happening 5 years ago in the Christmas message. And Brian Shalhavi put this out. This is Trump's Christmas message for 2020. The vaccine is the greatest medical miracle, and we can never let people forget. And Brian Shalhavi at healthimpact.com says, yeah, let's not forget. And I don't want you to forget either.
The president and I want to wish every American a very Merry Christmas. As you know, this Christmas is different than years past. We are battling a global pandemic that has affected all of us. Brilliant scientists have developed treatments.
Is this the White House or Green Acres?
We are delivering millions of doses of a safe and effective vaccine.
Yeah, look at all the people
that will soon end this terrible pandemic and save millions and millions of lives. We're grateful for all of the scientists, researchers, manufacturing workers, and service members who have worked tirelessly to make this breakthrough possible. It is truly a Christmas miracle. Over and over again, we were told it would be impossible to deliver a vaccine by the end of the year. All of the experts said, absolutely unthinkable. Trump is exaggerating. It can't happen. And we did it long before the end of the year. They said it would take a medical miracle, and that's exactly what it is. Years from now, they'll be talking about it. They'll be talking about this great, great thing that we did with the vaccines, a truly unprecedented, amazing medical miracle.
Normally, yeah, he executed it.
The vaccine takes up to 10 years. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, we developed the vaccine in just 9 months. We've already begun a nationwide vaccination program, and we're sending the vaccine all over the world. The world will benefit, we'll benefit, and everybody's calling to thank me. Our most vulnerable citizens are already receiving the vaccine, and millions of doses are quickly being shipped all across our country. By early next year, the vaccine will be available to every American, and shortly thereafter, it will be delivered worldwide. We will end the pandemic once and for all. This is one of the most extraordinary scientific, industrial, and medical feats in history. Everybody has it as that. That's what they're marketed down as. And we can never let people forget where it came from and how it came. We're very proud to be honored, and all of the people that worked so hard on it, we have to be remembered for what's been done.
Yeah, I want you remembered, you son of a... I can't believe that people let this thing go. Great job from Brian Shalhavi, putting up picture after picture after picture of people who died, people who have been amputated. As Jack Lawson pointed out, his mother-in-law got the shots, multiple ones, started having blood clots all over her body. And you saw the one picture of the lady there with the legs amputated. His mother-in-law has had both legs, both arms amputated now with this stuff, and it keeps going. It's just unbelievable, the criminality that's there. And this is all made possible, folks, by an information war. An information war that was conducted by the people who call themselves InfoWars and others like them. The alternative media supporting Trump and continuing to support him and pushing people away from the truth about what this vaccine really was. That's why it's a very hopeful sign that at least in the Netherlands, and the people in the Netherlands, I think, were awakened when Mark Rutte, the prime minister, decided that he was going to destroy the food supply of the most productive agricultural country in Europe, the Netherlands. Single-handedly, he's going to destroy all that. He's going to turn it over to Bill Gates and the picnic food delivery system that's run by his in-laws. And it woke people up. They created a new political party. They got rid of him. Where did he go? NATO. Because this is a military operation against us. Always was.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Call it Operation Warp Speed, delivered by the military. Goes worldwide. It is a global depopulation program. That's what Operation Warp Speed is. And it's so important that we not fall for the lies that said that it was a real pandemic. The lies that said that it was released by gain of function. And Trump is out there trying to push that narrative, as well as all the Trump media still pushing that narrative. And the other side is pushing this as well because it gives them an alibi. Well, we did the best we could. But, you know, this is something that the Chinese did to us. No, it was done by DARPA and others. There's a long history of them developing this stuff, a long history of them practicing and planning exactly how they were going to lock down people and make the vaccine a requirement for real life. So this whole thing was a military execution. And, you know, we have one of the stories that we've got today as we look at the wars. You've got an American general who is head of NORTHCOM. He was asked point blank if he was given orders to attack people in America, if he would do it. He doesn't care about a declaration of war. He doesn't care about posse comitatus or the rest of it. Well, if I was given orders, yeah, I'd do it. Yeah, we noticed. But let me tell you, it's already been done. This is not a hypothetical. It's already been done by Trump, and Trump will do it again. He'll go in and he'll say, well, you know, these gangs in Chicago or whatever, they are, you know, this is a terrorist threat to us. They're narco-terrorists because they're selling drugs. It's part of the drug war. And I can see him using the military. And not only that, but, you know, when you look at what is happening in Central and South America, if he does make moves against the cartels in those areas, I expect them to come in with some reprisals, as they have done in their own countries. And the first time they kill one person who is in law enforcement or one local or federal agent, then that's going to be open warfare inside our own country. That's what's coming to us. And it's going to come to us from the person who already did it as a poisoner, the poisoner in chief. So as Brian Shalhavi said, today is the first Christmas Day in Trump's second term as president. That speech that he did there and put out, and he annotated it with the pictures of people who had been killed or maimed. That was his last Christmas address, just before he left office the first term. The presidential prayer team published the presidential message for Christmas, and it said, together we must strive to foster a culture of deeper understanding and respect. Traits that exemplify the teachings of Christ. Well, I mean, clearly his prayer team doesn't understand what Christmas is about at all. Right? It's not about making us better people. That's something that flows out of it. But it's about peace between God and man. That's why Christ came incarnated. Now, you can't have the fruit without the root of Christ. So he says, I'm not sure who actually wrote that, but Trump himself was on Truth Social saying Merry Christmas to all, including the radical left scum doing everything possible to destroy our country. And, you know, enjoy this. It's your last Christmas type of thing. So he said, let's take a look at Trump's last Christmas message. And he doesn't want people to ever forget where that poison came from. Except they have forgotten. And they have walked away. And there is no justice. So to honor Trump's Christmas message to Americans in 2020, I've created a short 2.5 minute video to do what Trump requested in his Christmas message and remind people to never forget where the shots came from. I've done my best to remind people that they came from Trump. I've done my best to give him credit for being the father of the vaccine. And when I call it the Trump shot, you won't believe the amount of hate I get from people. They viscerally hate me because I call out this murderer. Donald Trump, murderer, thief, pirate, criminal, tyrant, you name it. He fits the bill. So, yeah, father of the vax and he and his Trump miracle. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And I'm still going to play some Christmas music these next couple of days here as we end the week here. We'll be right back.
listening to The David Knight Show. David Knight Show.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, let's continue on with this pharmaceutical stuff. We don't want to forget Trump's role in all this stuff. Bill Gates, Pfizer's CEO, Albert Bourla, of course, now they're business partners. Isn't that interesting? Trump introduces Albert Bourla about their new partnership to make money killing people. And the crowd boos Albert Bourla. Trump just shoves it off. Yeah, you guys, you love me enough that you'll forget that I am partnered with this guy.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Gates and Bourla have been ordered to testify in a Dutch COVID vaccine injury lawsuit. It relates to a lawsuit filed in 2023, 7 people injured by the COVID-19 vaccines, so-called. One of the victims has since died. The lawsuit centers around the question of whether the COVID-19 injections are a bioweapon. They are. That's what I've said all along. The suit names 15 other defendants, including former Dutch Prime Minister and current NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, the Dutch state, several Dutch public health officials, and journalists. Defendants are accused of misleading victims about the safety and the efficacy of the vaccines. It remains to be seen whether the defendants will comply with the court's order and appear this next year in a hearing. A second lawsuit was filed in March by 3 COVID-19 injury victims in the Netherlands, presenting a similar set of allegations and names the same defendants. Again, the Dutch are leading the way in this stuff. This is the only country in which there's been any pushback against this massive conspiracy to commit mass murder by government and to usher in a new technocracy. travel permits for everything, universal basic income because we're going to shut down your business. It's just amazing to me that everybody just took this, except the Dutch, who are now awake, I think, because of Mark Rutte and because of the attacks on the farms. Interesting thing is, the expert witnesses, the very first one mentioned in this article from Children's Self Defense, is Catherine Austin Fitz. Good for her. Good for her. A Solari report, former Assistant Secretary of HUD. Sasha Latipova, former pharmaceutical research and development executive. Joseph Sasson, a psychotherapist who's litigating to prohibit the mRNA vaccines in Florida. And Catherine Watt, who I don't know, researcher and paralegal. Michael Yaden, one of my heroes, a pharmacologist, former vice president of Pfizer's Allergy and Respiratory Research Unit. He's been very explicit for the longest time that this is a deliberate move. These things don't just happen. He said this was deliberate. They know every ingredient that they put in. And you look at these ingredients and how harmful they are. He said this was deliberate. This was a poisoning. He's made the case it's a bioweapon. I played a clip for you last week of Michael Yaden being very clear about this. Good for him. In October 2024, one district court rejected Gates' motion to dismiss the case, ruling that it has jurisdiction over him and ordering him to pay defendants' legal fees. In June 2025, the plaintiffs increased their claims against defendants and petitioned the court to accept the expert witness testimony that has been recorded. They're trying to get them in court to testify in person because that's more powerful than giving a video deposition. But the expert witnesses have now released a series of YouTube videos presenting their evidence and talking about what they would say given a chance. So the lawyer for them, Stassen is his name, submitted written statements and recorded video statements by the expert witnesses to the district court. The second lawsuit kicked off in March. In August, the district court denied the application, saying that the defendants lacked standing. In September, the lawyer filed an appeal alleging that the court did not afford the plaintiffs a fair trial in violation of the European Convention on Human Rights and calling on the court to allow the expert witnesses to testify in court. During last week's public conference, the lawyer Stassen said the plaintiffs and the broader public, quote, are victims of people who unjustly suppress the truth. That's what the cancellation and the shadow banning was all about. As a matter of fact, I put up some stuff and I saw that maybe like 100 people saw the post I put up when I'm supposed to have about 140,000 followers. And so I asked Grok itself, I said, how do I, I asked the questions about shadow banning. He said, Twitter or X says it doesn't shadow ban, but Grok says, but it does. And here's how you test it. And yes, it is severely shadow banned. You know, first I gave it the stats and it says, well, that is highly unusual. You know, it might be shadow banned. Here's how you can test it. I did test it. It's still being suppressed. Nothing is being changed. The suppression of the truth. My clients were misled. Had they not been misled, they would have not gotten the COVID-19 shot. A shot that the suppressors of the truth still tout as safe and effective to this day. And that is Albert Bourla's reply to this lawsuit. Stassen also noted that his efforts to have the Dutch courts accept expert witness in-person testimony, he said the witnesses tend to present evidence showing that the COVID-19 shots are indistinguishable from bioweapons, that they have no health benefits whatsoever, they are neither safe nor effective, they're released in the U.S., under emergency authorization by a Trump administration executive. All these guys came from and went back to Big Pharma, all the people in Trump's administration. He had two FDA directors. One went to Pfizer. The other one went to Moderna. His HHS director came from Eli Lilly. He was the one who first declared a pandemic when there weren't any cases even that they could allege. I think there's three people that they alleged had COVID-19. That's not a pandemic. Three cases in all of the United States, and nobody had died. And what was it with this emergency authorization and Trump pushing this thing through? He removed all the tests. He removed any inspection of this. He just rushed this thing through. That's how he got it through so fast. That's not a feature. That's a bug. How in the world does he get away with bragging about the fact that he shut down all testing and all regulation of this stuff, and they have shut down and lied about the people that have been harmed by it? So by design, they were intended to cause the damage that's described in the package insert as reported side effects, things like side effect like sudden death, heart failure, cancer, the most horrific diseases. A key component of the Great Reset is what this was. It was a military project in which NATO plays a significant role. Hence, Mark Rutte and why they brought him in there. Of course it was a military project. As I've said over and over again, it was the other shoe to drop from the inside job of 9/11. It was 2 months before 9/11 that they ran their first germ game, Dark Winter, and they practiced it for 20 years. They rolled this stuff out with the military taking the lead. It was a military mass murder. Sensone told the defender that he and other expert witnesses are advocating to testify in court, as this can be more influential than written testimony. He said he intends to provide evidence that the COVID-19 vaccine, so-called vaccines, are bioweapons, violating the Biological Weapons Convention and the Biological Weapons and Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989, which is authored by the late Francis Boyle, Ph.D., an expert witness in the original lawsuit who died in January. And I guess if he was an expert witness in this, I guess he finally came around to the understanding that this is a bioweapon. When I was pushing back on this at InfoWars, and Alex was pushing that the pandemic was real, that the vaccines were nothing but sugar water, and you could take it for Trump. Yeah, of course it's going to have some adjuvants in it, but yeah, you can take this. Do it for Trump. And so Alex had me on. I didn't realize that Alex was doing that at the time. And I didn't know that this was going to be set up as a faux debate between me and Francis Boyle. Francis Boyle believing and telling people at the time that the COVID-19 thing was a lab leak and that it was a real pandemic. I pushed back against that. I haven't gone back. Ryan sent me a link to the actual programming, so find it at the internet, at the InfoWars archives. But I haven't gone back and looked. I don't like watching myself, and I'm sure if I watched it, I'd be very disappointed in what I did. I don't know that I made a good case for it. I'm not a great debater. I just was right. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I say it with sadness because I look at the people who have been harmed by this. And I just wish we could have gotten this information out. I wish I could have done a better job. It's difficult when it's, first of all, I didn't know that this was coming up. It's like one of these things, hey, I would like to come in, you know, do the show. So I walk in cold with this stuff. I don't know this is going to be a debate. It's not really a debate when it's two against one and the moderator's got his thumb on the scale. But now we see that he was an expert witness to say that it was a bioweapon. Well, good. Sasha Latipova told the defender that the lawsuits are the only ones worldwide that allege that COVID was not a public health event, but a government project. That's right, going back to Dark Winter. That resulted in mass casualty that can be characterized as genocide, or more broadly as democide, death by government of the population. In her statement, Latipova alleged the military governance and contracts were used to develop, procure, deliver, distribute these shots all over the world and to bypass standard regulatory oversight procedures for pharmaceutical products. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. The alt media is still pushing this China lab leak. I had some guy respond to the Monster Jab movie, that clip that we did, and said, you're pathetic trying to pat yourself on the back for being right. And it's like, no, pal. There's people who really believe that it was a real pandemic. There's people who really believe that it leaked out of the lab. There's people who really believe that the government did the best job that it could. I'm simply trying in a satire to tell people that is not the case. We got a lot of criminal conspirators who did this to people, and they're going to do it again if they don't answer for this stuff. They're already plotting it. There is substantial evidence of noncompliance with good manufacturing practices, she said, which is the law that governs pharmaceutical purity and honesty in labeling all over the world. Well, of course, they knew that. And I reported at the time, Stat News, which is a pharmaceutical publication. It's not critical of pharmaceutical industry. And they pointed out that Pfizer was blackmailing three South American countries, saying, you'll give us immunity against unsafe manufacturing processes, against negligence, not just on the fact that this is experimental, but you'll give us broad immunity, and you'll back it up by pledging assets in other countries, embassies and other things like that. And we already see some countries who are up against financial hardship selling their embassies, because that's property and real estate in other countries that they can sell. So Pfizer demanded that as protection. One of the South American countries went along with it. The other two did not, and they went public with it. If I remember correctly, I think it was Argentina and Brazil. According to Catherine Austin Fitz, global central banks and financial institutions were involved in these efforts. She said the pandemic represented an egregious misuse of healthcare policies to implement economic and political agendas. That's right. With the goal of engineering a great reset of the global financial system. And we are still suffering the consequences of that. Yaden said that since 2020, he has attempted to warn the public that the COVID-19 vaccines were designed to lower the fertility rate and people's health and to reduce population. He said that even though he was censored on social media for making such comments, he said, this is what I have watched happen around me for 5 years. So several of the defendants, including Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, Mark Rutte, the former prime minister, now head of NATO, and the Dutch state sought to block the testimony of the plaintiff's expert witnesses. Gates was the only defendant who deferred to the court's judgment on this point. In September, Gates and Bourla submitted written statements of defense. In his statement, Gates says he doesn't have any connection or influence over the policies of international bodies such as the World Health Organization, except it's a matter of record that he gives more than virtually every other country in terms of money to them, except for the U.S., one of the largest contributors, more than most nations. But he says he doesn't have any influence with them. Albert Bourla has maintained that the Trump shot is safe and effective. And, of course, Trump continues to cheer him. He's now a business partner of his. And Trump will never admit that this was a bioweapon. He's the father of the bioweapon. He's the father of the lockdown. He's the father of the digital ID. He's the father of universal basic income.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Government program for compensating vaccine injuries is unconstitutional. That is the PREP Act. This is a lawsuit filed in the United States saying that people can't, trying to get compensation for people who've been injured by the Trump bioweapon. Two women with support from Children's Health Defense are suing the government agency that oversees the compensation program for the vaccine injuries. They allege the program violated their constitutional rights by setting eligibility criteria that's so restrictive that neither woman can qualify for compensation. Just remember, the PREP Act was put in by George Bush. Dark winter happened under George Bush 2 months before 9/11. The model legislation was put out to states after the anthrax attack that happened 1 week after it. And then he prepared for all this stuff with a PREP Act. Well, their prepping was to take away anybody getting any compensation for the massive depopulation program that's going to be coming. This is how the globalists operate. They have a very, very long timeline. And, of course, that was Republican George W. Bush. Now we got Republican Donald Trump, who executes it and then sets up a corrupt election system to guarantee that he's not going to get reelected so he can turn it over to the Democrats and to make sure that everybody is confused as to what's going on. But if you go back to the 1986 Childhood Vaccine Compensation Act, or whatever they called it, but it basically took away your right to get compensation if your child is injured with the pharmaceutical stuff that's there. 1986, that was Fauci. But it's also Reagan who signed that in. So we got Reagan, we got Bush, we got Trump. Don't talk to me about Republicans being the lesser of two evils. Come on. Wake up. I've heard that for too long. The lesser of two evils is still evil, but these guys are not necessarily even lesser. They just focus on different evils. That's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. They typically have a different evil agenda, and they're going to come after you in a different way, but they'll both come in after you. So the claim has to be filed within 12 months after the injury occurred. This is even worse than the pedophile protection that they've got in there with statute of limitations. You know, when Jeffrey Epstein or Trump rape a child, they get 3 years to blow the whistle on them. Of course, that doesn't happen, and they know that. But here, many of these people don't know for sure what's going on for 12 months. Strange things are happening to them. And so Ray Flores said the program's definition of serious physical injury is arbitrary. The federal government defines serious physical injury as injuries that are life-threatening, that result in permanent impairment of a body function or permanent damage to body structure, or require medical or surgical intervention to preclude permanent impairment of a body function or permanent damage of a body structure. And of course, we've seen this happen over and over again with this, and yet they're not compensating anybody. So these two defendants allege the vaccine caused multiple injuries that have impaired their ability to work and live normal lives, but they say that their injuries fall short of the threshold established by the CICP. It is fundamentally unjust and unconstitutional under the U.S. Constitution for someone to suffer substantial injury and have absolutely no path to recovery or accountability, said Mary Holland of Children's Health Defense. And what makes this worse is that the substantial injury has come to them from the government itself. That's why it's being denied. Potentially millions of people have suffered tremendous harms that the government does not consider to be serious and have been left without any remedy as a result. So this one person, again, you got to get there within 12 months. She saw 105 doctors over 2.5 years and substantial painful symptoms. She developed autoimmune disorder, small fiber neuropathy, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, called POTS, mast cell activation syndrome, tinnitus, heart palpitations, leaving her unable to work. This is after two doses of the Trump poison. The other person received two doses of Moderna's Trump poison in 2021. The other one was Pfizer. The vaccines caused her to develop high blood pressure, tachycardia, pelvic pain, tremors, leg numbness, weight loss, frequent urination, and insomnia. She had to sit upright for several months. While the injuries have subsided somewhat from their zenith, the plaintiffs remain impaired and have no access to any remedy. Unlike prior cases challenging the PrEP Act, the new lawsuit is narrowly pled to show that plaintiffs and the vast majority of the injured are left without any remedy whatsoever. The sole exception to the PrEP Act's liability shield is willful misconduct, defined as intentional acts or omissions done with knowledge that harm is highly probable. Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the scientists at Children's Self Defense noticed that they were encapsulating this mRNA in PEG, polyethylene glycol. It's called pegylated. And they saw that, and the scientists said, a lot of people are allergic to that. That's going to, if you inject that into people, that's going to cause them to go into anaphylactic shock. And contacted the FDA, and the FDA said, we don't care. Call Pfizer and let them know. Of course, Pfizer, when he contacted them, they didn't care. And so is that willful misconduct? Does Pfizer know that it is willful misconduct when they are seeking to have extraordinary legal immunity for the harm that they know they're going to do with these vaccines, threatening and blackmailing three countries? Because, again, this is at the point where if you don't get the shots globally, all of these governments, and I've said it so many times, it doesn't matter what political party, it doesn't matter what claimed political philosophy they have, they were all conspiring together. This was a global conspiracy of the leaders of every single country. How can people not be upset with this? This is so large. And people just got tired of the masks and the silly 6 feet apart rules and just stopped complying, walked away, and left it at that. They didn't come back and say, wait a minute, you know, we need to bring these people to heel. It's amazing. However, the PrEP Act requires that willful misconduct claims first be adjudicated through CICP, even though CICP bars claims that fall below its serious physical injury threshold. So this creates a classic unconstitutional catch-22 scenario for prospective claimants, according to the lawsuit. Yeah, they war game this thing out. Former U.S. Health Secretary under Biden, Javier Becerra, declared the end of the COVID-19 public health emergencies in May of 2023. However, the declarations did not end a separate public health emergency that leaves the Trump shot covered under the PrEP Act. Yeah, they play these little legal games with us, don't they? And that's what Javier Becerra was. He doesn't. He was brought in. Trump had as his head of HHS a former CEO of Eli Lilly, who was going to run this whole thing through and create the vaccine. Then Biden was the one who was going to push it as a requirement and was going to make sure that they maintained legal immunity for the pharmaceutical company. So they brought in a lawyer. Nobody with any medical experience, but they brought in a lawyer, Javier Becerra, to shepherd this thing through, to use what Trump, this bioweapon that Trump had created with this pharmaceutical administration. Just before the end of Biden's term, Becerra extended the PrEP Act's liability shield for COVID-19 countermeasures until December 31st, 2029. It was the 12th extension since 2020. As of December the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
First, CICP has compensated only 42 vaccine-related claims out of 14,000 claims filed, less than 0.3%. A lot of people don't know about this. A lot of people look at it and say, well, they're not going to pay me. Why bother? The median payout for a COVID-19 vaccine injury has been just over $4,000, $4,100. However, the average payout is $155,000. That is skewed by two unusually large payouts. Without those two large payouts, the average compensation amount would fall to $5,100. And when I look at this, I think about another Republican, Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio. He's the one who came up with $1 million vaccine lottery. Isn't that amazing? So there's never been a successful challenge to the CICP. So we'll see what happens with it. Meanwhile, Rob Snyder is criticized by a left-wing mediaite because he brags that he beat Gavin Newsom's vaccine rules. Newsom put in a vaccine rule saying you're not going to have any concerts unless you got less than 1,000 people. He says, oh, okay, well, we'll have 999. That way nobody gets sick, right? it's interesting. Mediaite criticizes him for this. You know, the liberals hate Trump, but they love his bioweapon. The MAGA people hate the bioweapon, but they love Trump, who brags about being the father of it. So I say, America has gone mad. M-A-D. Make America doublethink. You know, they can't, neither the left nor the right, can connect the dots on any of this stuff. Rob Snyder said he beat Newsom's COVID-19 check requirements by lowering his ticket sales to 999 to avoid the state mandate that you would have to check people's vaccine cards to come to an event. So in a December 20th interview, he said, in California, Gavin Newsom closed churches, but he kept open strip clubs. Which I appreciated, he said. And he kept open the liquor stores and the weed stores. And it was like, what? Then he closed private businesses. He said, if you have more than 1,000 people when you perform, then they have to bring their vaccine card. So I said, okay, just sell 999 tickets. I'm not going to force anyone to do anything. He said, this is all a form of coercion. Something out of the 1940s with the Japanese internment camps. An American citizen, all of a sudden you weren't. So you always have to be aware historically that you're an American citizen until you're not, because these Japanese citizens had everything taken away from them and were thrown into camps. We've seen something like that today under Trump. He's not going to criticize Trump, actually. He's a big fan of Trump. These were American citizens, so that's something that we need to be aware of. Under COVID, we're able to see your small business, your restaurant shuttered, your ability to make money, your ability to take care of your family stopped. And what they do, they printed money and all this stuff. At the same time, at the taxpayers' expense, devaluing all of our money and, you know, setting in effect this massive ramp up of the federal deficit. The one thing that Trump will never talk about, the government deficit. You know, Hillary called us deplorable. Trump called us non-essential. And he bankrupted Main Street mom-and-pop businesses because he wanted to push stimulus, train people about universal basic income. He said, we have to warn Americans of the potential of this country to become authoritarian. Sorry, it was in 2020. It was authoritarian. And it was just insanity. I really feel like I don't want the Democrat Party trying to run my life, he said. And there's not one aspect of your life that they don't want to interfere with. See, again, he falls back into the partisan mind trap. It's not just Democrats who are destroying your life. It's Republicans who are creating the military bioweapon. It's Republicans who actually did the lockdown. The lockdown stuff was all Trump. Some of it was continued, yes. But the lockdown stuff that happened in 2020 was all Trump. And the money that he paid to hospitals to kill people was 100% on Trump. And people like Peter Navarro that he brought back. So, again, what about Trump? What about Bush? What about Reagan? What about the profits for the pharmaceutical companies? What about the military depopulation program and the global conspiracy of all of these governments that was a part of that? Yeah, let's not think about that. It'd be too scary, right? Well, we got some comments here. Travis, I've been talking for a while. I'll let you read the comments.
That's right. We've got Mark Young. He says, in the spirit of the Declaration of Independence, list of tyrannical acts of King George III. This is a list of King Trump's oath violations, crimes, and broken promises. We have Bin Laden Bernanke. He says, it's permissible to have our military be violently attacked, the USS Liberty, in 1967, because that's Israel. But if any one of the urban peasants harms a hair of our jackboots, then it's on.
That's right. You don't even film them. Filming them is an act of terrorism, now we're told. Yeah. They're in public.
Nibiru 2029. They didn't create a vaccine for a COVID virus. They created the COVID scamdemic for the vaccine.
That's right. That's what Dark Winter was all about.
Cicada 17 says, yesterday was Reflection Sunday at our church with an open mic. One man listed off 10 people close to him that died over the past year. All I could think was, it's that poison shot. And Max, we all have this play acting in Minnesota, Trump pretending he's going after the leadership, but Waltz is starting a new Somali charity programs and declaring his run for a third term. Such amazing chutzpah. Would be my guess, Trump and Waltz are in the same club, just playing opposing positions.
Right.
Like Soros. Has he been arrested yet? All BS.
That's so true. Yes. Is that it? Is that all the comments we got?
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back.
David Knight Show.
Thank you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, it's just recently, I think, was it around Thanksgiving, that Sean Duffy, the Department of Transportation Secretary, said people are dressing really slovenly, you know, as they go to fly. We need to stop that. You know, you need to have some self-respect and all the rest of the stuff. Well, then, just before Christmas, the TSA is warning flyers, do not wear any festive clothing. Yeah. Hey, slave, don't get any ideas. You know, none of this fancy stuff. It's going to interfere with our naked body scanners that we've got here. And we'll have to give you increased pat-downs here. TSA, PSA, the body scanners don't like sparkles, said the post, which was shared with TSA's social media. So that's the difference between George Orwell's Big Brother and the Big Brother that we've got now. You know, they are they kind of say it with a smile. Isn't that nice? We don't want to dull your holiday shine, but we don't recommend wearing your sparkly holiday sweater to the airport. Holiday sweaters can sometimes feature sequins or metallic materials that can set off the scanner and lead to extra security screening. Well, the scanner sets me off. I'd say good. Everybody wear a holiday sweater. Set it off. Shut it down. Sparkles or sequins? Because those are two different things, darling, said one user. See, that's what they're going to do. They're not going to complain about the TSA and what they're doing. They're going to quibble about whether it is sparkles or sequins. I thought we were supposed to dress up to fly, said another. Well, the website also warned the passengers could be asked to remove their outer garments when going through the scanner. You going to dress up? We're going to dress you down. We're going to strip search you. We're going to put our hands on you because you are our slave. This is training, folks. The training for the security state. TSA recently answered a slew of burning questions about what you can and cannot bring through airport security ahead of Christmas time, sharing vital advice for those who are traveling with gifts on its website. Don't wrap stuff up. We'll have to tear all the wrapping off. I'm so sick of the TSA and the federal government and its micromanaging of our lives. TSA encourages passengers traveling with gifts this holiday season to use bags which can be opened and gone through, gift boxes and the like. Kids can remove. TSA officers can inspect those gifts if necessary, and avoid the possibility of opening fully wrapped presents. They reminded flyers that snow globes, which we've had for the longest time, they are now a security threat, and you cannot travel with a snow globe. It's so great that the TSA is on top of all these threats. They know they don't exist. Let me tell you, the TSA is a threat. You just don't realize it, perhaps. Maybe the listeners of this program do. Snow globes are never a problem, but now they are. It assured the customers that, yes, you are allowed to travel with live plants. So you can bring your poinsettias. Isn't that generous of them? Until they change their mind and the poinsettias go the way of the snow globes. So new airport DNA law is now in effect. You know, where they said we're going to get the DNA of people traveling into this country from even friendly nations. That went into effect December the 26th. Isn't that interesting? The new rule targets citizens entering or leaving the U.S., non-citizens, I should say. You now are subject to facial recognition, DNA, social media, 5 years, all the rest of this stuff. And the facial recognition pictures will be stored up to 75 years. At that point, I guess they figure you don't have a face left anymore because you're dead. So let it go. So the new rules expand what officials are legally allowed to ask for. Let that sink in. These are rules, not laws. And these are rules that are being written by the officials who give themselves legal allowance to do whatever they wish. This is how our country has become now. We're no longer a country of laws established by Congress. We don't care about the Constitution. Instead, the bureaucracy writes its own rules. They enforce them. They judge you for your violation of them. The rules are not laws. The Constitution has not been amended. They have the power to do this, but they have no authority for any of this tyranny. The new rules could further dampen demand to visit the U.S. by foreign travelers. International visits to the U.S. fell in 2025 to 85% of 2019 levels. The group expects arrivals to rebound in 2026, but only to about 89% of pre-pandemic levels. Yeah, like I said before, the federal government is like a boa constrictor. The constrictions are smothering us. Countries are making calls to cancel all visas for Americans. Here's part of the travel wars. Now, this is not in response to the DNA and social media requirements, but this is a total of 39 countries that now face a total ban or restrictions of entering the U.S. And some of these make sense. Some of them don't. Some of these are very dangerous countries. And so they said, well, we're just not going to accept anybody from those countries. I don't know that's going to keep them from getting in. In Antigua, the prime minister there issued a statement saying that the Caribbean country's government was deeply disappointed, giving the justification accusing it of loose rules. Listen to this. Loose rules for granting citizenship by investment. Isn't Trump bragging about that, in a sense? I know it's not citizenship. It's like a green card. But he's bragging about how he's bringing in billionaires who will pay $5 million to get a gold card instead of a green card. I look at that and I say, he's bringing in the worst of the worst. He's bringing in the richest of the rich. These are not the people we want. I would much rather have the poor people who walk across the border than these grifting billionaires. Even if the people are coming across with the intention of just getting on the welfare system, they will do far less damage to our country than some foreign billionaire. Niger is completely and permanently prohibited from the issuance of visas to all U.S. citizens and indefinitely banning entry to its territory for nationals as a response to being banned themselves. I think this is a good case could be made for banning travel coming from Niger. It's not Nigeria, it's Niger. A Muslim-majority nation with a population of over 25 million. The White House said that they have a visa overstay rate of 13% for business visas and 16% for student ones. In other words, people get a visa.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
To come in for business purposes or student purposes, and they don't go home when the visa expires. So they said, as well as terrorists and their supporters that are actively planning kidnappings. So, again, I don't know that's going to keep them out. Meanwhile, you have airlines calling in psychologists to stop passengers risking their lives for bags. So that was an interesting headline. I thought, what are they doing? Are they climbing onto the luggage carousel or something? I want that bag. No, that's not the case. And yet, when you look at this, again, all air travel, just like everything else the government is doing, is now all psychological manipulation. I said for the longest time, all this TSA stuff is pure B.F. Skinner. It is positive operant conditioning. You let me touch you. You let me take scans of your naked body, and I'll let you fly. You know, that's positive operant conditioning. It's not saying, well, if you don't let me do this, I'm going to throw you in jail. No. That would be negative. The positive is you do this and immediately you get a treat. The only thing missing is that you don't, that's the clicker training that you see for dogs, dolphins, ravens, and things like that. The only thing missing, they should have a TSA agent. When you go through the little scanner, should give you a click, right? Hey, now you get a treat. Okay. So mobile phone footage from recent evacuations has shown the people are increasingly pausing to recover their belongings from overhead lockers before evacuating a plane that has been wrecked. And so that's what they're talking about. They said, people carry on valuables with them. Why do we carry on valuables now like that? Well, because we know that if we leave them in our luggage and we're not allowed to lock our luggage anymore, that there'll be thieves who steal stuff. This happened to Karen's brother took a family vacation, and he bought a brand new camera, still had it in the box, put it in his luggage, and of course, that was right after they stopped allowing people to lock their luggage. And camera was, the interesting thing that really got him angry was they took the camera out and then closed the box up and put the box back in. I guess it's easier to put the camera in their coat if they do that, so. Video shows the problem has become apparent from footage of people sliding down escape chutes or stumbling from aircraft doors while clutching their bags. They cited the example of a Delta airline plane that overturned on landing in Toronto in February. 80 passengers and crew aboard, 21 of whom sustained injuries. The aircraft slipped, rolled on the runway, and yet there were pictures of everyone running away with their suitcases. Anyone who's been through this will know the flight attendants are going to be screaming at their top of their lungs to exit the plane immediately. And they said, the Japanese do as they're told, so we should be more like the Japanese. Yeah, that is they want us to be submissive, completely submissive. And they make no bones about it, do they? Well, we have a comment here and a tip. Thank you very much, Stealth Patriot. Really appreciate that. And I just want to say thank you so much, all of you. We had so many checks and cards that came in. Really do appreciate the cards. Thank you for the well wishes. And we have made our goal this month, which is unusual because of your generosity. I want to thank you all. And, well, let me read Stealth Patriot's comment here first. ISIS-linked terrorist organization, the CIA, Mossad, the U.S. military, the U.S. State Department. It's hard to build a resistance against the system when so many so-called patriots worship the system. That's right. That's right. Well, I want to thank people. Thank you, Stealth Patriot. And I want to thank the people who sent checks in December. Ronald C., Willem G., Lloyd P., Dane D., David and Deborah W., Jack H., Brent and Ingrid S., Fred and Jackie U., Richard R., Mary N., Tom and Nancy, Sammy and Abby, and it's great to see the pictures of Sammy and Abby growing up. For years, Tom and Nancy have supported us, and they've sent pictures of their children that they're homeschooling. It's amazing to see how big they've gotten. Time really does fly. You see that in the young people. Scott C., Stephanie K., Eric O., Kelly and Philip M., Lisa K., R.D. in Florida, Helen T., Dale L., Heidi T., Alexandria and Thomas L., and T.K. in Ohio. Thank you, all of you, for your gifts to us, and you've been very generous this month. Thank you very much. We'll be right back, folks.
Listening to the David Knight Show. Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, I'm reminded of Chicago, the musical group, their song, While the City Sleeps, Men Are Scheming, New Ways to Kill Us. Netanyahu's got a new slant to lure Trump back into a war with Iran. He can't say that we got to stop the nuclear production facilities because Trump has already bragged about the fact that he completely destroyed them. So they've got to come up with a new rationale for attacking Iran, but attack Iran we must, because that's what Netanyahu has been all about for 30-some-odd years. I mean, he's telling everybody, they're just a couple of weeks away from a nuclear weapon. We got to attack. We got to attack. He's been doing this, having his Acme cartoon bombs up behind him to scare people for decades. In these last days of the year, the Trump administration has boarded or seized three tankers, either loaded with Venezuelan oil or destined for Venezuela. The most egregious seizure in terms of illegality being a Chinese-owned, Panama-flagged vessel reportedly destined for China and on nobody's sanctions list. This is the Ron Paul Institute writing this, by the way. In a different zone of conflict, the Security Services of Ukraine, the SBU, last Friday claimed that it had struck a Russian so-called Shadow Fleet tanker. With aerial drones and waters of the Mediterranean Sea off of Morocco, the SBU did not give further details of the attack, including how they had deployed a drone in the Mediterranean, 2,000 kilometers, that's about 1,200 miles, from Ukraine, or the site from which they launched this. Russia vows that they would retaliate. And, of course, what we see now happening is both Russia and Ukraine attacking each other's infrastructure, primarily by going after energy targets, whether it's fuel, refineries, or electrical generation and distribution. Blockades, seizures, and attacks, very plainly, are acts of war. Despite the U.S. claims that America owns all the oil produced by Venezuela, until all historical U.S. legal claims against Venezuela are satisfied, it is yet another ratchet to the drift of lawlessness and U.S. foreign policy. These acts are preeminently aimed at China, which has large equities in the Venezuelan oil industry, and at Russia. Add to that the $11 billion in weapons being sent to Taiwan, with a significant amount of medium to long-range missile systems being part of the planned transfer, including 82 HIMARS launchers with Army ATACMS, I guess is what you call these things, missiles, that would allow Taipei forces to hit targets across the Taiwan Strait. The last transfer of the ATACMS has infuriated China. What this suggests is that the National Strategy Statement in respect to China says that Washington now views China no longer as constituting a prime threat, but only as an economic competitor. That statement is meaningless rhetoric. China is being treated as an adversarial threat and will respond as such. China and Russia will read the Trump administration by its actions rather than by this NSS rhetoric. The signals speak plainly to escalation. Put all this into the context of quote-unquote leaks by senior Trump officials, which Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard says are lies and propaganda. She says that the claims that the U.S. intelligence community agrees to and supports the EU-NATO viewpoint that Russia's aim is to invade, conquer Europe in order to gin up support for their pro-war policies, that these are lies being pushed by what she terms the deep state warmongers and their propaganda media. In other words, she says U.S. intelligence assesses that Russia seeks to avoid a larger war with NATO. So what Gabbard is telling us is that there is open intra-warfare at the top of the Trump administration, internecine warfare within the intelligence community. What a surprise. I've said all along that the intelligence community, CIA and all the rest of them, it's not a monolithic organization. There's different factions in it. And now they're openly holding press conferences, contradicting each other. On the one side, there's the CIA, the hawks, and their European collaborators. On the other side is Gabbard's intelligence analysts and the larger U.S. constituency. So where is Trump in all this brew, they ask? Why is he positioning himself at the cusp of another round of conflict with China? Why would he do that when U.S. economic structures are so fragile? When China has shown that it has economic leverage with which to fight? Is the explanation the simplistic response that it's a diversion from the release of further Epstein images? I don't think so. I don't know if they think that or not, but they kind of leave that as an open question. If you go back to look at what happened in 2020, Trump, pretending that he is an anti-globalist, was the leader of the globalist conspiracy to lock down and vaccinate us all. He was the leader of that conspiracy. He produced the vaccine with U.S. taxpayer money and with the U.S. military and its resources. And so this, I see, as just more of the same, a global conspiracy by a globalist, Trump. Why did Trump dispatch Witkoff and Kushner to Berlin when the intent of Europeans to wreck the negotiating process with Russia was quite evident beforehand? The two American so-called envoys did not sign the European proposal. They sat silently, yet neither did they enter any dissent, not even when NATO Article 5 security guarantees were talked about as being put into play for Ukraine. Who was it that provided the targeting data by which Ukraine apparently was able to attack this tanker off of the North African coast, 2,000 kilometers from Ukraine, 1,200 miles? And why draw in Iran by seizing the Iranian Bella 1, ostensibly flagged to Guyana and heading towards Venezuela? Does this represent the start to another round to the Iranian tanker that was originally pursued by Israel? Does it suit Netanyahu and certain constituencies in Israel's purposes to heat up the situation with respect to Iran? Well, and since this is written, of course, we now have Netanyahu had planned to go to Mar-a-Lago. But over the weekend, we had some very sensational headlines that were pushed by mainstream media, including a Drudge Report. You know, wake up Saturday and look at the top of the Drudge Report, and it says, Iran declares total war. Well, that was a total lie. What the Iranian prime minister or president, whatever his title is, what he said was, they have engaged in total war against us. He said, when we were fighting Iraq, they were shooting missiles at us. We knew where those missiles were coming from. But he said, this is a total war that's being conducted by the U.S., EU, Israel. They're coming at us financially. They're coming at us militarily. They're coming at us from every different direction. So he says that they have declared total war on us. It wasn't a declaration by him, but it was portrayed exactly the opposite way by a U.K. tabloid. And then pushed by the Drudge Report and other organizations pushing for that war here. Netanyahu is scheduled to leave for Palm Beach on December the 28th yesterday to have one or perhaps two meetings with Trump. And so the thing that's on his agenda is not Gaza. I mean, they've gotten what they want from Trump with that. Rather, it is Iran. Iran will not be presented to Trump as rushing toward a nuclear breakthrough, or that old cliche. That's an old narrative. And of course, they can't sell that because that would mean that Trump would have to admit that his bombing run was a failure. He's never going to say that anything he did was a failure, even when it's obvious to the world. The new one is that that's been put out by Israeli commentator Anna Barsky. She wrote, she said, the more immediate threat here, more than nuclear itself, is the systematic Iranian reconstruction of the middle layer, the ballistic missile industry, its production lines, and its...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
...ability to restore the functionality to damaged air defense systems. Understand that when Putin launched this large attack against Kiev over the Christmas holidays, the drones were Iranian drones, and they have large production for the, Iran is a very, very large country with a lot of people and a lot of production capability. And they have produced these suicide attack drones, produced them in large numbers, so much so that the Russians are actually buying them from them. And so this is going to be the focus by Netanyahu and those who want to destroy Iran, that we got to stop them because of the missiles. And so we can pretend that the nuclear program has been stopped for now, so we don't embarrass Trump, and we'll tell him that he's got to go after their missile system. So the message Netanyahu will take is that Israel must not allow Iran to rebuild a missile and defense umbrella that will close the skies over sensitive sites. Netanyahu will likely claim, will likely remind the president that Trump was placed in power not just to promote Israel's image, but for the realpolitik purpose of expanding Israel's real-world power in the region and their control over territory. So then we get to this headline here. The Iranian president says that Israel and U.S. are already waging full-scale war. He said the U.S., Israel, and Europe are already waging full-fledged war on Iran, that a return to kinetic warfare will result in a more decisive response than the retaliation that was witnessed during June's 12-day war. A 6,600-word interview that was published on the official site of Iran's leader there. The wide-ranging discussion addressed the full spectrum of challenges the country is facing, including internal political, social, economic, and cultural ones. And so, again, he says the war, quote, that is making headlines, came in the midst of a discussion of Iran's attempt to make the most of their finite energy resources. and immediately followed his listing of the many small ways he said he personally economizes with state resources, from ordering radiators turned off in offices that he seldom uses, to shutting down a heated swimming pool that was dedicated for his own use. Then he pivoted, and he put Iran's struggle in the context of the Israeli-Western efforts to weaken the country, from economic sanctions to attempting to foster internal discontent. He said, in my opinion, we are in a full-fledged war with America, Israel, and Europe. They do not want our country to stand on its feet. This war is worse than Iraq's war against us. And again, the quote about when they shot something at us, we could see the missiles coming, we knew where they're coming from. This is something that is coming in from every angle. He said, here they're besieging us from every aspect. They're putting us in difficulty, constraint, creating problems in terms of livelihood, culturally, politically, and security-wise. They block our sales, our exchanges, our trade. And on the other side, expectations in society have risen. Consequently, we must all help with all of our might to fix the country. So this is something that was really kind of set up for internal discussion, say, well, we got to all close ranks. They are sanctioning us. They're trying to cut us off economically. They're about to attack us militarily. And yet, notice how this whole thing was presented in the press. This is The Express out of the UK. And this is what was put up at the very top of Drudge. Iran declares total war on America and Europe and a huge World War III alert. That's not at all what he said. This is warmongering. And this is taking the remarks out of context. In my opinion, we are at total war with the US, Israel, and Europe. They want to bring our country to its knees. He's not making a declaration of war. And of course, neither is the U.S., Israel, or EU. They just said, well, we just need to kill them. You know, we're not going to make a case for it. Moving the goalposts, Israel now says neither Tel Aviv nor Washington should tolerate Iran's rebuilding of its surprisingly formidable arsenal of hypersonic and other ballistic missiles that the country used to retaliate when Israel initiated the 12-day war. According to each country's official tallies, more than 1,000 were killed in Iran, 33 in Israel. The war was purportedly launched because of the threat of Iran developing a nuclear weapon, yet U.S. intelligence has long concluded that the country is not developing a weapon. And again, we have seen Netanyahu sell this idea now for, what was it, 35 years? That within just a few weeks, maybe months, you know, they're going to have a nuclear weapon. We've been hearing this for 35 years. And the real issue is that, as we reported before, Iran's response was far more damaging than Israel wanted to admit to. There's now been footage that was previously banned showing Iranian missiles pounding a Haifa oil refinery during the 12-day war, hit with three direct impacts, massive explosion, because it's an oil refinery. And so that was why they pushed to shut this down, and then come back and attack from a different angle. After only 9 days, Israel wanted a ceasefire and kept to it, unlike with Gaza, where they have not followed the ceasefire. The key reason for that is that the Iranian missiles inflicted significant damage on the Israelis. Instead of Israel succeeding in subjecting Iran under its domination, as it did to Lebanon, we now have a situation of mutual deterrence, and that is unacceptable for Netanyahu. Unacceptable for his legacy. And as a result, the likelihood of Israel trying to attack Iran again is very, very high. And that's on top of his agenda as he's coming to Florida. That will be today. The American right is in the midst of a growing civil war over U.S. support for Israel, with many conservatives still incensed over Trump's decision to support and then to commit U.S. forces to Israel's war on Iran in June. The question is whether Trump's instinctive subservience to Israel, it's not instinctive, it's bought. He's a whore. And his U.S.-based collaborators will overcome reservations about blowing up the conservative coalition heading into next year's high-stakes midterms. Well, again, this would not be happening if Iran didn't have the oil. Because this all goes back to the CIA overthrowing the democratically elected government decades before. You had the blowback with the Ayatollah and the taking over the U.S. Embassy. This is one of the best examples, I think, of CIA intrigue blowing up in our face. We wouldn't have the radical Ayatollahs there if it hadn't been for the coup that put in the totalitarian Shah of Iran and the CIA that trained his brutal secret police. And so that's what we're dealing with now. And it is all because of the CIA's intrigue and because of the desire to steal the oil. That's what Trump is about now in Venezuela. What are they going to do in Venezuela? We're going to wind up with another Iran there? Are we going to wind up with another quagmire Afghanistan there? So, in my opinion, we are at total war with the U.S., he said. And he's talking about this as from their perspective, that the U.S. has declared total war on them. And Trump is already doing the talking points of Netanyahu. He doesn't even need to have a visit from Netanyahu. He just gets a call from his donors who tell him what to do. So this is, as we look at Happy New Year, is it going to be Happy New Wars that we're going to have this next year? A lot of them that Trump is working on.
A lot of wars for a guy that prides himself on trying to get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, what a fraud he is. It's just amazing.
No one's ever deserved it more than he has, though.
That's as fraudulent, Travis, as him saying that he is an anti-globalist and then leading the globalist COVID conspiracy against everybody. Trump said that the administration viewed Iran as nearing a nuclear breakout before the June attacks, but he says that they destroyed that, but now we got to get their missiles, and that's exactly what Netanyahu is saying.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So then we get to Nigeria, which happened over the weekend. And again, I've talked for a very long time about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. I believe that's true. There's very credible eyewitness accounts of that. And we have seen what Boko Haram does, and even attacking other Muslims in some cases. But the Nigerian government and the establishment press here has poo-pooed that idea. Trump, on the other hand, seized on it because he realized that it was something that bothered American Christians here. So he seized on it, thought it would be a Christmas gift to virtually signal to Christians that he's going to kill those bad guys that are engaged in mass murder of Christians in Nigeria. The problem is that it's not just Cash Patel and his Keystone Cops of the FBI who can't get anything done. The Trump administration attacked the wrong people, basically. It was totally ineffective and in the wrong area. What a clown show this is. We're going to be the world's policemen. We'll be the world's Keystone Cops. And this is all really for just show, and it's really for the military-industrial complex to sell more missiles, more weapons. Trump says that the U.S. launched strikes against ISIL in northwest Nigeria. Well, wait a minute. ISIL, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, all these different, Mujahideen, all these different synonyms for the same organization that we both ally ourselves with and fight against. But that was the organization that he put in charge in Syria. And he brought the guy in, if you remember, to celebrate him into the White House and the Oval Office. It's very deferential to the guy. An Islamic terrorist who is also killing Christians. But we're not going to do anything about the Syrian terrorist that was our ally. But he said, tonight at my direction, as Commander-in-Chief, the U.S. launched a powerful, deadly strike against ISIS terrorist scum in northwest Nigeria. So he did that on Truth Social on Christmas night. Peace on earth. There we go. I have previously warned these terrorists that if they don't stop slaughtering Christians, there'd be hell to pay, and tonight there was. The U.S. military's African Command, AFRICOM, said in a post on X that the airstrike was carried out at the request of Nigerian authorities and had killed multiple ISIS terrorists. Well, residents of a village, Jabbo, I guess that if they got a hut, it'd be Jabbo the Hut, right? Have said that
not
the strikes,
we too, solo.
Have said the strikes caused alarm and that their village has never experienced an attack by ISIL. As it approached our area, the heat became intensive, said one person they spoke with. Our rooms began to shake. Fire broke out. The Nigerian government should take appropriate measures to protect us as citizens. We have never experienced anything like this before. In other words, we've never been attacked by these ISIS terrorists before. But now we're being attacked by the American government. And why were they not attacked by the ISIS terrorists? Because they were Muslims. And they're not attacking Muslims in the Jabbo area. The U.S. government does that. So grateful for the Nigerian government support and cooperation, said War Pete when he's writing on social media. Warning of more to come without providing any details. AFRICOM said that the strike occurred in the Sokoto state, a reference to Nigeria's Sokoto state. They don't even have the name right. I guess it's one of the reasons why they attacked a predominantly Muslim area that was not being attacked by the Muslim terrorists. Because they don't even know the name of the place. This is America, where we don't know who it is we're fighting or why we're fighting. We don't even know the names of the places that we're bombing. Nigerian foreign minister confirmed on Friday that the strike had been carried out in coordination with his country's authorities. They're trying to get out in front of this. They don't want a conflict with the U.S. government. And so they're saying, yeah, we're doing that. We don't want these people. And it's not really the case, as we've had people telling us over the years. The Nigerian government has been passive in terms of this, whether they're attacking Christians or Muslims. They've done nothing. And in many cases, when they're attacking the Christians, they stand there and watch. Nigeria's government dismissed Trump's assertions that they are persecuting Christians, saying armed groups target both Muslim and Christian communities in the country. So they're doing it equally. So there you go. You know, yeah, but what about when they attack the Muslims? So I guess they got a license to kill Christians now as well. This is where this whataboutism always lands, right? We have Republicans get caught red-handed doing something. They say, yeah, but look at the Democrats did the same thing. What about that? And so this is the way this goes. Instead of saying both of these things are wrong and we're going to stop it, they says, well, you know, it happens to both sides, so who knows? We can't do anything about it. So they confirmed on Friday that the Nigerian authorities were engaged in structural security cooperation with international partners, including the United States of America. There's nobody else involved in any of this stuff. To look at the issue of alleged Christian genocide in Nigeria, Sokoto State is probably the last place many Nigerians would think it's happening. said Al Jazeera's reporter, explaining that the vast majority of the state's population is Muslim and there had been few, if any, attacks on Christians in the region that he could recall, because there's not many Christians there. They go into the other areas. So is this, you know, when we look at this on Christmas, you know, facts are clashing as Trump claims he hit ISIS and is protecting Nigerians. Analysts say the situation on the ground is far more complicated. Sokoto, not Soboto, state, which was hit by more than 12 Tomahawk missiles Thursday night, is populated overwhelmingly by Muslims. And so there's not a problem of Christian persecution there, because there's not Christians to persecute there. And we don't know the difference, evidently. Even as the Nigerian authorities have disputed Mr. Trump's claims about Christian genocide, they've chosen to respond to his threats by cooperating with his administration. So one of the areas that was hit in Jabo, analysts said, was not known to harbor any terrorist or bandit groups. We heard a booming sound like that of an aircraft coming from the western part of the town and going east, then a sound like a siren, followed by a powerful air force that's nearly shifted the roofs of our houses. He said nearby residents, thinking an aircraft had crashed, rushed into a nearby farm where they found pieces of ordnance. A farmer's hut had been set on fire, but nobody was hurt. He added that he did not know of any terrorist camps in the area. This reminds me of when cruise missiles were sent to blow up the tents of Muammar Gaddafi at one point in time. Reagan did that. I think it did blow up the tent of one of his kids and killed one of his kids, but that was it. It didn't do anything militarily. These things cost millions of dollars a piece to blow up tents. And this particular one, it set on fire a farmer's hut. But nobody was hurt. Nobody died. Sokoto State is home to the Sultan of Sokoto, who is the spiritual leader of Nigeria's Muslim population. See, that's perhaps why they targeted it. Nevertheless, it is not going after any terrorist cells that they know of there. It's a good way for the U.S. for Trump to show to the American evangelical right that he's doing something about Nigeria. And the American evangelical right can cheer mass murder without us being attacked for Christmas Day. There we go. The strikes address both Trump's desire for publicity and the American security establishment's concern about the Islamic State, and also the military-industrial complex being able to sell war and missiles. Still, some in Nigeria were puzzled by the choice of the targeting. Analysts say the terrorist groups in Nigeria with the best documented links to ISIS are in northeastern Nigeria, the other side of the country. That group, Islamic State West Africa, or ISWAP, splintered off from Boko Haram, another jihadist group. They said northeastern Nigeria has been taken over by Boko Haram. So, you know, we attack the other side of the country. This goes back to the Music Man. You got to know the territory. This is the gang that can't shoot straight, but they do kill a lot of people. So little proof that the attacks were effective, despite Trump claiming that the ISIS terrorist scum were killed for Christmas. That's his, as I said, he had a very unmerry Christmas that was there. He said, I said, we were going to do it earlier. And I said, no, let's wait, said Trump, and we'll do it as a Christmas present. And he said, every camp got decimated. This is pure BS. It's just amazing. Yeah. This is, for him, it's what makes him happy, is to go, who can we kill for Christmas? You're on his naughty list. Look out. I can't think, and then you got Laura Looney, okay? Part of the sycophant, psychotic press. I can't think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than by avenging the death of Christians through the justified mass killing of Islamic terrorists, said Laura Loomer. You gotta love it. Death to Islamic terrorists. Thank you, Mr. Trump. There we go. Well, then we turn to Venezuela over the weekend. U.S. has moved additional troops as well as special operation aircraft to the Caribbean. These are the Osprey tilt motor aircraft that are assigned to special op forces. They continue to build up forces there for what? We shall see. But again, just remember that going in and blowing up all of the military equipment of the Venezuelan military, whatever it is that they have, and then trying to occupy the country, trying to take over oil fields, is a fool's errand. We're being led by a ship of fools. By the way, when Trump started bragging about his new Trump-class ships, this is an AI meme that somebody put out. That's the Trump class right there. Yeah, USS Trump. Giant clown head at the top. And just like its namesake, it drones on and on. Well, Trump said on Monday, referring to Maduro, if he wants to do something, if he plays tough, it'll be the last time he's ever able to play tough. Yeah.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
See this chip on my shoulder? Knock it off and see what happens, right? I double dog dare you. Kristi Noem said that Maduro needs to be gone. One of the most explicit statements from the Trump administration official about the desire for regime change. Notice how the lies about fentanyl are gone. You know, Trump's not talking about fentanyl coming from Canada anymore. He's not talking about fentanyl coming from Venezuela. We just got to get this guy out of there so we can have the oil. Trump officials have tried to frame the tanker seizures as some sort of law enforcement operation, writes anti-war, but the U.S. has no legal right to capture ships in international waters, regardless of whether the vessels are under U.S. sanctions. Trump has said the U.S. plans to keep the oil and the tankers, which amounts to outright theft. Well, why wouldn't we think that our government, our kleptocracy, would not do that after you look at years and years of civil asset forfeiture, where they steal property, they don't do it after they've convicted you of a crime. They don't even charge you with a crime, but they charge your property with a crime. And we saw the same rhetoric. I think most people who don't pay any attention to civil asset forfeiture didn't really notice the fact that they said, well, this is a criminal tanker. This has been going here and going there. It's been violating sanctions. And so the tanker itself was a criminal. It was arrested. And we're going to steal what it had in its pockets, millions of barrels of oil. Enforcing a naval blockade against a country is traditionally considered to be an act of war. That, of course, would require authorization by Congress under the Constitution, if we were going to pay any attention to the Constitution. Last week, the House voted on the War Powers Resolution meant to block Trump from launching a war with Venezuela without congressional authorization. But it failed in a vote 211 to 213. So think about this. We have a 10th Amendment, and we have, the 9th Amendment, I should say, that says that if you don't have any, powers explicitly given you, you can't infer these. And so everything is prohibited to the federal government unless it is explicitly authorized. They have turned that the other way around. Everything, we can do whatever we want unless it is explicitly prohibited. And even then, we'll do it and then we'll see if you can beat us in court. This is the same thing with this. So instead of having a declaration of war, we now require a declaration of peace because we're at permanent war with everybody about everything. That's really what's happening here. They tried to stop him from a war rather than saying, wait a minute, you don't have the authority to go to war without a declaration from Congress. So the Trump blockade is leaving about $1 billion worth of Venezuelan crude oil stranded on tankers. We estimate that there's about 17.5 million barrels of crude oil floating on board tankers in Venezuela, which are unable to depart due to the ongoing U.S. blockade. That's around $900 million worth of oil. This is coming from an organization called Tanker Trackers. And these are questions on X about how long it would take for land-based oil and gas operations in Venezuela to become clogged due to the blockade. Chevron, listen to this, Chevron is still importing from Venezuela and doesn't appear that it'll stop anytime soon, given that they are granted a waiver. Is there any question that this is piracy here? Is there any question that we're going to war for corporations? You know, this is corporate fascism on a scale for war. This is what Smedley Butler talked about. The U.S. has been doing this for a very long time. It used to be over fruit. Now it's over oil. And they can continue to take out oil. Chevron can. But we are going to shut down everything else. Our assessment, the gunboat diplomacy posture is designed to disrupt Venezuelan, Cuban, China oil flows. And China is furious and has wargamed a potential conflict with the U.S. and the Caribbean. Well, we'll see about that. I think it's going to happen in Taiwan, though, absolutely. Trump's expanded drug war will only make overdose crisis worse, say experts. And this is from the Free Thought Project. Now, they take the tact of the fact that the drug war is counterproductive. And I absolutely agree with that. But they don't have a solution. In other words, their solution is, you know, well, everything will be just fine if we just legalize it, that type of thing. No, the reality, as I've talked about before, is the fact that, you know, you've got people who are getting involved in drugs because there is a vacuum, a hole in their life that they're trying to fill with stuff. And then they get addicted. And it's just not simple as, well, just give them more drugs. It really is a spiritual issue. And as I pointed out before, you know, we have when Matt Trujillo came on and gave his testimony about how as a teenager he was involved in gangs. He got involved in using drugs and selling drugs. The thing that got him turned around was a Christian program. In his particular case, it was Teen Challenge, started by the guy that wrote the book Cross and the Switchblade. But if you want a program that's going to be 87% successful, that's going to be a program that involves Christ and a conversion of these people who have at the core a spiritual issue. It's not going to be done militarily. It's not going to be done by force. It's not going to be done by militarized police or by the police, by the military being used as police. None of that's going to work. If you use their programs, you have a 97% chance if you use the psychologists and these, you know, let's give them a different drug that's legal and we'll get them addicted to the methadone instead of the heroin. If you use that type of approach, that is guaranteed to fail 97% of the time. So which approach do you want to use if you want to do something about the drug issue? Do you want to use the one that is 87% successful or the one that is a 97% failure? And I would say that when you look at using force, law enforcement, or now the military, to create prohibition, that has a 100% failure rate. Why has the drug addiction issue become much worse in 50 years? It's become much worse because of the spiritual issues in our country. But The drug war has made our government much worse. It's gotten them addicted to being able to do whatever they wish without regard to the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Trump issued an executive order on Monday declaring fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. Experts say that fentanyl is not used as a weapon, and they dismissed the order as public relations ploy as administration struggles to explain some kind of legal justification for waging war without Congress's approval. It is the latest line in a series of massive escalations in Trump's drug war. Again, fake fentanyl claims, just like the fake claims that he made about Canada, just like the fake emergencies that he used to claim the authority to be a dictator with COVID. Fentanyl is fentanyl. These are all catch-all terms for class of synthetic opioids typically produced in Mexico, not Venezuela. They replaced heroin and prescription painkillers like OxyContin as law enforcement intervened in the illicit drug supply. Well, no, what happens is you always wind up, as they crack down, the more they crack down, the more you get concentrated forms of it. We've seen this happen both with this as well as with alcohol. As a matter of fact, the WHO was talking about what a problem alcohol has become in Europe. Why is that? Again, this is all going back to a spiritual issue. I think it is the general malaise that is happening throughout the EU as well as the UK. I mean, you see pictures all through the year of people saying, well, this is, Brighton or whatever, some town in the UK, and it's young people that are out in the middle of the night, especially young girls, completely drunk, laying in the ground, laying in the gutter, literally. And this is the type of thing that we saw in Russia. You know, vodka became a very big deal because everybody was basically locked down as slaves. When you look at what the government is doing with the TSA, when you look at what the government is doing in terms of shutting down our lives and micromanaging everything, people instinctively get that. Some people react by just trying to escape through a bottle or through drugs. And this is what's happening a great deal. People who see that they have no future. The dangerous thing is going to be that some people are going to see they have no future unless they get the government out of the way. And that's when they're going to start the violence. At this point in time, people in Europe are basically reacting the same way that people under the Soviets reacted, and just trying to escape this society by getting into the bottle. And that's what's happening all across Europe as people's opportunities are being taken away, as the government is cracking down on all aspects of their life and taking away their ability to have a future. People are just indulging in this. A harsh crackdown on painkiller prescribing in the U.S. and the rise of fentanyl over the past 15 years is associated with a surge in fatal overdoses that peaked during the COVID-19 pandemic. Again, when they took away everything, what happens? People turn to drugs or alcohol or whatever because they're powerless to do anything about it. It has long provided fodder for political fear-mongering. However, from 2023 to 2024, the CDC recorded a nearly 24% decrease in overdose deaths linked to opioids, stimulants, alcohol, and other drugs, a remarkable decline after more than a decade of crisis. So, as the government got its boot off of our throats, and people were able to get out and have a life, guess what? It started to go down. And the same thing has happened in Russia. After the Soviet Union fell, guess what? The rates of alcoholism there have gone way down as well. It is a reaction, just like the way people dress at the airport. It's a reaction to government tyranny. If we really wanted to address drug use, we would start investing in HHS, which is being decimated under Trump. No, I disagree with this. This is, it isn't that, you know, well, we just need to give people more welfare and set up more government programs. No, that's not the answer. The answer is that this is a spiritual problem and has a spiritual solution.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, as I said before, the general who is in charge of NORTHCOM, which is over the U.S., says that he is willing to authorize attacks on U.S. soil. This is General Gregory Guillot, I guess is how you pronounce his name, Guillot, of U.S. Northern Command, during hearings when asked by Senator Jack Reed, a Democrat, if he would be willing to carry out orders to attack so-called designated terrorist organizations within U.S. borders. General Guillot responded by saying, "If I had questions, I would elevate this to the chairman and secretary, and if I had no concerns and I was confident that it was a lawful order, I would definitely execute that order." Well, it can't possibly be a lawful order. This is very much like the interaction that Sessions had with Leon Panetta. Leon Panetta was asked as Secretary of Defense by Sessions. Sessions said, "You're not going to put troops in Syria without telling Congress and having to vote on this, are you?" "Well, Senator, we'll consult with our allies and NATO and the UN, and we'll let you know what we're going to do." That's basically what this guy is saying. In other words, I don't care what the Constitution says. That's what Leon Panetta said, and that's what this guy under Trump is saying, the head of U.S. Northern Command. The brazen openness of General Guillot, who receives his orders directly from War Pete, to affirm such a willingness to carry out unprecedented military actions up to and including against U.S. citizens on American soil should be cause for alarm, writes the Free Thought Project. And I agree with them. Some may look at the qualifier of his statements and saying, "Well, if I had no concerns and I was confident in the lawful order," they might think that that is some kind of a buffer against abuse. But it bears reminding the frequency with which this administration has shown a blatant disregard for the rule of law while simultaneously advancing openly hostile rhetoric towards huge swaths of the American public, referring to millions of average Americans as the enemy within for simply expressing dissent against the administration. General Guillot is the authority who has personally overseen the illegal deployment of U.S. military forces to occupy American cities, which have expressed opposition to the president's agenda throughout this year. It should also be considered that these statements come on the backdrop of a spate of extrajudicial executions at sea, unconstitutionally murdered 90 individuals accused of being narco-terrorists without any proof, without any due process. So that's very concerning when you hear that coming from somebody saying, "Yeah, we did the same thing in the U.S. After the military has conducted 95 summary executions of civilians in the Caribbean at the direction of Trump and War Pete, it is not sufficient anymore for commanders to say to lawmakers that they will run any legal concerns up the chain, at the top of which are those who would be giving the order. Rather, to make clear that they will uphold the rule of law, they should be definitive in saying that they will disobey patently unlawful orders, which includes a scenario that Senator Reid laid out for General Guillot. The notion of such action being taken within U.S. borders, presumably against U.S. citizens, should be taken with the utmost seriousness. Freethought Project reported in September Trump's designation of this amorphous group, Antifa, as a terrorist organization, despite there being no formal organizational structure or leadership hierarchy, and the FBI being completely unable to specify what it even is. It's such a broad and vague designation that the administration could label practically anyone as a terrorist. And this is what conservatives missed in the No Kings protest, when people were out there wearing T-shirts saying, "I am Antifa." What they were saying was, this is an arbitrary declaration levied at an organization that doesn't have any formal structures. How do you determine that somebody is in it definitively? Not make mistakes about this, especially when you have a government, an administration like the Trump administration, that is famous for shooting from the hip. We're not going to really investigate this thoroughly. We're not going to give anybody any due process. So we just fire the missile. Pam Bondi has directed the FBI to compile a list of groups or entities engaging in acts that constitute domestic terrorism. Do you remember, you may not like Antifa, and I don't like Antifa either. I mean, the hateful Marxists, when we've had interactions with them, they stand there and scream racist at you. I mean, when they were screaming at Karen and my daughter, they said, I said to Karen at the abortion clinic, they said, "Oh, so you're some white savior or something like that." Wait a minute, what's wrong with being white and what's wrong with being a savior, you know? Since when is that a bad thing? You know, he says, "I kill my kids." Remember that clip? Yeah, yeah, you try to save kids, I kill my kids. And the evil, hateful people. Nevertheless, there has to be a rule of law, a process that we go through. And just to label these people, start compiling a list, understand that what's going to happen when you get somebody like Hillary or Biden in after Trump has set this precedent and moved it further down the road? Are you going to be on his list? I mean, you've already been called terrorists and for opposing all this pandemic stuff and everything and climate change, all the rest of this. I mean, if you oppose the climate change agenda, oh, you're going to kill everybody, right? Same thing with the pandemic, these other MacGuffins. I was labeled a sociopath by Scott Adams for saying that, he says, these freedom lovers are indistinguishable from sociopaths. This is the way people who support Trump think. And so the presidential memorandum, the NSPM 7, target those expressing opposition, quote, opposition to law and immigration enforcement, who have extreme views in favor of mass migration and open borders, and adherence to radical gender ideology, as well as anti-Americanism, anti-capitalism, and anti-Christianity. So I could see this just being flipped, the script. So you're anti-DEI, are you? Are you anti-LGBT? Are you homophobic? Are you not in favor of humanitarian immigration? Well, then you are a dangerous extremist, a terrorist. I'm going to put you on the list. Think about that. That's why we have the rule of law. This blatant unconstitutional order, pretty much any and everyone who isn't MAGA is on the risk of potentially being labeled a domestic terror threat. And once we do that, pretty much anybody who is not a supporter of an administration is now a terrorist threat. And that script will flip when control of the government goes back to the Democrats. They will keep that, just as Lala Harris said she was going to keep Trump's gun control by executive order, and Biden did keep it and started doing gun control by executive order. Whenever Trump lays down these precedents, they will be used by authoritarian criminals on the other side, and they'll be used against you. So don't cheer this. Don't tell me.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You voted for this. Go stick your head in a noose. That's what you're doing anyway. Trump has previously hinted at using the military domestically to quell opposition from his dissenters while refusing to acknowledge whether or not it has ruled out the use of summary executions of those that it has labeled enemies on the aforementioned watch list. Trump has also recently accused a number of senators, all former military personnel, of sedition, suggested that they be executed for their collective effort to release a statement reminding active duty members of the responsibility to remain faithful to their oath to the Constitution. Over the last several decades, preparations have been quietly been made simultaneously with the militarization of law enforcement, readying the military for potential deployments against American citizens domestically. I was talking about this all the time back in 2013 and 14 with Obama. That's why we went to Fort AP Hill, where they were doing the asymmetric warfare training, because they were militarizing the police and they were training the military to operate inside of cities. Everybody was concerned about that when it was being done by Obama, but now it's everybody, I say conservatives, but now the conservatives are just fine that the baton has been picked up by Trump and he's carrying it across perhaps to the finish line. Trump's ability to wield these terrifying powers did not appear in a vacuum. The precedent was set in an agonizing mission creep with every little infringement from every previous administration. That's exactly what's been happening. Well, we got some comments here, Travis.
Yes, we do. Give me just a second. I need to scroll them real fast. We've been piling up. We have Niburu 2029. He says, if you pay close attention every year, the inflation numbers are high until about 1 month before the COLA is announced. That's something we've talked about quite frequently. They always revise the numbers.
The cost of living adjustment, because they adjust Social Security and things like that based on that. They manipulate the numbers. They do that with inflation. They do that with the unemployment numbers. You know, they will always go back and revise the previous quarter so they can make the, they don't have good numbers this quarter, but they can make a statement that it's actually a positive trend by revising the previous ones. This is Orwellian. Just go back in and rewrite the numbers. Yeah,
the
go ahead.
Numbers were always this way. We've always had great unemployment numbers. Cicada 17 says, I love the Night Christmas album. This year we listened to it in its entirety during our Christmas dinner, as we have for the last several years.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yes.
And of course, the Christmas album is still available.
Yeah, it is.
If you,
it's available year round. But I do listen to Christmas music year-round, as a matter of fact. Not Santa Claus stuff or Tin Pan Alley things, but I'm not listening to songs about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But, I do listen to Christmas music year-round, and it is very relaxing, calming, actually, the stuff that I listen to.
Yes. But, and I know Junior Barner, one of our listeners in chat, was having issues getting it. I don't know if we ever got that resolved with the holidays and everything. if that didn't get resolved, please shoot us an email. We want to make sure that we handle that for you.
Yeah, so what we've done is we've uploaded it to Mega Upload, and you can go there and you can actually listen online to the files, and you can download individual files or you can download the entire album that's there. And you know, you don't have to be part of Mega Upload in order to do that, but we store them up there and just leave them up there. So what we do is we send you the link, and if you got any questions about it, just let us know. We'll help you with that, and we can do what we can to help you get that down. But we've had a lot of people get it, and haven't had too many people have a problem with it. But we'll help you work it out if it's confusing.
Yep. So. Any issues, just let us know. Do Not Obey has returned to work after holidays to find average Americans not bragging about what they received as gifts. The diversity hire is bragging big time. New trucks for Christmas. Well, Christmas isn't about what you get, but I understand where you're coming from, Do Not Obey. I understand.
Yeah.
Karen Carpenter says, today is the third anniversary episode of Guard Goldsmith's show, Liberty Conspiracy. At 6 p.m. Eastern on Rumble and X. Happy anniversary.
Well, congratulations,
yes, happy anniversary.
Guard. That went quickly, it seems like. But good for you. Good for you. I'm glad that that's happening. Yes.
Yeah, the last few years have been a complete blur.
Yeah.
They go faster and faster.
Yes. Yes.
Dustin D. Helm, thank you so much for the support. Thank you.
Thank you.
He says, what a wild year. Cheers, David and the Knight family. Well, cheers to you.
Yeah, I'm afraid things are going to get crazy next year as well. We're going to talk about gold and silver when we come back. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Wally Walrus says they can't even take off one day of murdering for Christmas. Well, I mean.
How true, yeah.
That's dedication. NMAC says, we've lost control of our government. They lie to us like Trump to get in power, then do just the opposite of their promises.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back.
The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, welcome back. Let's talk about gold and silver. There's some interesting developments that have happened. And as I point out in this article, if you look at the last year, unless there's going to be some major volatility with gold in the last week of the year, there's been approximately a 70% increase in value within just a single year. And I keep going back and thinking about the silver and gold thing that I did with Yukon Cornelius. And I think we call that one right. All the fundamentals were there. We'd already seen a pretty good run-up of gold in 2024. And everything was still in place. And yet, everybody got so excited about Trump's statements about what he's going to do with crypto and Bitcoin, all the rest of the stuff. More than anything, he discredited it with the actions that he did. Bitcoin's had kind of a rough year this year, but gold has done great, and silver has done even better this year. So when you look at something that's a 70% increase, there's this thing called the rule of thumb, rule of 72, I should say. And the rule of 72 says that if you take the interest rate, let's say that you're making 6% interest, which, of course, no banks pay any interest at all anymore, but you're in some investment that's not in a bank, in a savings account, and you're getting 6% interest. Well, what that says, you divide the 6 into 72. The rule of 72 says that it takes you about 12 years to double your money. So if it goes up by 70% in 1 year, you're doubling your money in 1 year. So it's remarkable. Not the least because 2024 already ended with a 26% gain for the otherwise conservative asset class of precious metals. And so more than a doubling of value in gold in just 2 years. That's something that you would usually think that's a hot tech stock that you bought rather than gold or something like that. For the most stable money that humanity has ever known, it's an amazing development. Those who follow geopolitical developments and financial markets closely, such a compressed upward movement is an unmistakable signal. Danger is imminent. That's what we're looking at here. And that's why we said, you know, last year when we were talking about this, Tony and I were saying, well, all the fundamentals are bad and danger is imminent. So it's going to be good for gold. And I got to say, nothing has changed. Things have we've gone further down the wrong direction this last year. And next year we're going to really escalate it because Trump is going to put in his own guy in charge of the Federal Reserve. And they're going to pull every phony sugar high that they can, and people are going to see it for what it is. And it's going to roil the markets as well as the American dollar. So, again, it's going to be another good year for gold, I'm confident. It may not go up by 70%, but I think it's going to be a good year for it. Whether it's military conflicts like the Ukraine crisis or new wars that he's creating, or the global debt dynamics that are now affecting nearly every region. And isn't it interesting? You know, Donald Trump sees emergencies everywhere, except with the deficit. He doesn't ever even talk about that. He's not interested. He's interested in the trade deficit, but he's not interested in his own deficit. The massive pileup of debt that is hanging over everybody's head. And that's one of the places where he had the first conflict with Thomas Massey. It was over the debt. Thomas Massey is very big about that. He hands, they've got these little lapel things that are debt counter, and he handed it to all the incoming freshman members of the House. Donald Trump doesn't like that. He doesn't want people thinking about the debt. And they got into a big fight, and the first time that Trump said, "I'm going to get him out of office," was because Massey opposed this multi-trillion dollars, what is it, $3.5-4 trillion or something that Trump ran through once he locked everybody down. Now we got to give people welfare. Think about that. What an outrage that was. And Massey was upset about it. And he says, "No, you're going to have to come here and vote in person on this." And Trump flipped out. He wasn't worried that they were going to die. He was worried that he was getting in the way of his program to train people on welfare, universal basic welfare, universal basic income. So the global debt dynamic now is affecting nearly every region. Capital is visibly fleeing to the safe haven of gold. It has the advantage over other assets in that there is no counterparty risk. You've heard Tony Arterman say that over and over again, because it's true. And you need to have physical ownership, not some kind of a ETF that's held by a bank in China. Something that represents tangible value, that aside from the annual 1.6% increase in mining of gold, it neither inflates nor can it be arbitrarily frozen. So they're saying that typically they're mining about another 1.5% every year, versus when you look at the money supply, you know, the quote-unquote printing of money, or just as Ben Bernanke said, no, we don't do that. We just add zeros on the on the computer to this stuff. And so they've been inflating the M2 money supply, cash deposits, short-term deposits like money market funds, savings accounts, etc. That's going up 7-9% globally this year. And of course, they're doing the quantitative easing. They're going to do, definitely will reduce interest rates. Trump is very big about that. That's the only interest that he, the only interest that he has in the, deficit, the, federal deficit, is they've got to keep those interest rates down, because that's the amount they have to pay on the interest of the debt. So they went, that's one of the key reasons he wants to get the interest rate down. It's not going to lower the interest rates on mortgages necessarily. If the market, the market sets the 30-year mortgage rates and things like that. If the market thinks that lowering interest rates is going to be inflationary, Trump lowering the interest rates will actually cause home mortgages to go up. And we've seen this happen several times already. But what it does do is it lowers the cost to the federal government for this massive accumulating debt that is there. And that's all he cares about. Just kicking the can down the road, let it blow up on somebody else. And that way he can brag about how things are so much better under him. Gold is becoming becoming scarcer then, relative to the circulating fiat money. A compelling argument, particularly in central bank circles. Banks are well aware that their interest rate policies, coupled with ongoing debt monetization, lead to planned currency devaluation. Worldwide, there's about 216,000 tons of gold, and that's it. That would make, if you put it all together, it'd be a cube that is about 22 meters on each side. Central banks are seeing that their own crisis come up. It was, again, the central banks who are pushing gold prices higher this last year. Polish, Chinese, and Turkish central banks stand out. Combined, central banks are expected to add roughly 1,000 tons of gold this year, well above the long-term average of 400 to 500 tons, which tells you, again, danger is imminent. You know, what we're seeing here is massive debt accumulated by all these different governments, and then you also see the fact that they are changing the financial system. It's completely being restructured. Something kicked off and accelerated in a big way under Biden with sanctions against Russia. And as everybody saw, the international system for settling payments, SWIFT, was captive to the U.S. that could use that to steal money from anybody. So trust in the entire system has been eviscerated. Everybody is looking for trust. How do you get people to trust you? Well, you've got a massive stack of gold to back up whatever new financial system that you want to put in place. That's how they're all looking at this stuff. So as if more proof were needed that a storm might hit capital markets, Italy, one of Eurozone's three pillars, has gone on the offensive. The country is working to legally transfer gold stored at the Italian central bank to state ownership. They say in this article from Zero Hedge, they believe it's because Giorgia Meloni, who's the prime minister, is worried that the European Central Bank might confiscate Italy's gold. So we're going to take it out of the Italian Central Bank and we're going to make it state property. How far has the trust crisis in capital markets gone if it's gotten to this point? The new year may soon give us a clearer answer to this question. Again, just like we saw a year ago. Same fundamentals, but even worse than they were the year before. And then you can add to it Trump trying to manipulate interest rates and the monetary supply with a new Federal Reserve chair that he will handpick. The U.S. dollar was on the was set for its biggest yearly fall since 2017, as investors wagered the Federal Reserve has room to cut rates further next year, even as most of it's finished with the easing, they say. But that could come back in as well. In a basket of currencies, the dollar index fell to a 2.5-month low. I guess that's because our currency is a basket case. 57% of retail investors expect silver to trade above $100 an ounce in 2026. But there is a warning there as well. Not just that it's had a big run-up. I mean, the big run-up was long overdue, as Tony had been saying for quite some time. You look at the ratio of gold to silver. You look at the amount of silver that's being used. And a lot of people have made a point of talking about the Samsung battery. I haven't talked about it. But the Samsung has come up with a battery that instead of having a liquid, I think it's liquid lithium. I don't know what it is that's liquid. But the thing that makes them so flammable is absent. So the Samsung silver battery is basically better in every way, except it uses a lot of silver. It charges way faster than the existing batteries do. It's got a much longer range, and it doesn't have the fire hazard. And I could even see this, because of the fire hazard, I could even see this down the road being mandated by the federal government, because they don't care if you can afford cars. They'd rather you not have a car. So I could even see the silver battery from Samsung, that technology being mandated. But each car would use about 2.25 pounds of silver. Pounds, not ounces, pounds of silver. So it adds a lot to the price of a car. Now, it was a small premium to pay when it was first came out this summer. They're saying, well, the price of silver then, it added about $1,000 to the price of a car, but it would double the life of your battery. So that makes economic sense if you're going to keep the car. But since then, the price of silver has doubled. So when you look at that, and you look at the potential for of demand for that battery, for example, and the fact that it's better in terms of range, fire hazard, charging time, battery life, in every regard it's superior, but it uses a lot of silver. So a lot of people are looking at that, saying that's an even more bullish case for it, because we've had 6 years of deficit for silver, that we were using more of it, using it up in industrial uses, more of it than was being mined. So for 6 years, that's been going down. And so we saw a real crunch this year as India decided, had some influencers there saying, it's part of their religious festival where they store precious metals. Don't do gold this year, do silver. So that created a big crunch. So that's on the positive side. On the negative side, I had a listener who sent this to me. I was not aware of this. And it is a climate bill that was passed December the 10th at 2 a.m. in the morning. This sounding kind of like the Federal Reserve bill, you know, where they go in and they run something through like that. It was page 1247 of a 1,850-page climate bill. And in it was the idea that they could force you to, they could force a requisition of individually owned silver and platinum and palladium. And they listed several different key metals. Notably absent was gold, because they don't want to tip off speculation that that they're losing out to gold. So that would be a real red flag to everybody. But they can list every other metal that is there, and they might actually do it. And so if you look at it, I had a listener who sent me a video report that was done by somebody going through it, and it looked very legitimate to me. You know, at first, it seemed like it was real clickbait hyperbole. But actually, if you look at the bill, it's actually there. And what he was suggesting, and we'll see what Tony has to say about it. I'm interested to see what Tony says.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Of course, he won't be with us this week. Thursday is New Year's Day. He'll be coming back after that, and we'll see what he has to say about this. There are some things that you can do to guard against silver confiscation. And he pointed that out in the video. He said, you know, you go back and look at gold confiscation. They made exceptions for collectible items. And so one of the things you could do is if you've got, you know, collectible coins or something, you get it registered that way, and now you're immune to that because they're talking about the same types of things in this bill. The other thing that was done, you know, if you've got it in form of, you know, bars or something like that, you can put it in a foreign country or you can... you know, have it fall off your fishing boat or something. Just try to hide it. But you are on the list pretty much, anybody has, if you bought it. Because the certainly if you bought it in much of a quantity, there are reporting requirements that are there for every kind of organization. They've got this throughout the financial system. Whatever you buy, they're constantly looking at what you're buying. There's constantly reporting of this stuff. And you can go back and find this stuff. As a matter of fact, one of the things that broke over the weekend was people went back and found Jeffrey Epstein's Amazon order list. And it was, he bought on several different occasions young schoolgirl uniforms. I don't think they were for him. And Karen's first comment I thought was great. She said, and what sizes were they? That's the key thing we need to look at with this. We also bought something called a sonic prostate massager. And I was like, what in the world is that? I didn't even know that hedgehogs, let alone comic book hedgehogs, had prostates. So I had to look that one up on Amazon. But, yeah, he had an interesting. So the bottom line is that whatever you buy, folks, you know, unless it's done, in terms of cash and, one-to-one person, thing, they know what you've gotten. So the way that you can do things about your silver is that you can set up some kind of a sale, to somebody else and pass it on to try to, you know, You can also turn it into gold. That's another easiest thing to do right now. But if you got it in a safety deposit box, if you got it, if you bought the stuff, you know, through the banking system, they're going to know where it is. So the things that you can do, or you can, if it's coins, you can get it classified as a collectible thing. Then that gets you out of the system. You can put it in a, you know, safety deposit box in some other jurisdiction like Switzerland or something. That's what a lot of people did in advance of FDR's order. Or you can change it over to gold that they're not going to come after. But 57% of retail investors expect silver to go above $100 an ounce in 2026. And it just started accelerating towards the end of the year already. It's getting up to like $80 an ounce. Prices gained 170% this last year and counting. Many industry experts and a solid majority of retail traders see another standout year for silver in 2026. And again, Trump has had one fake emergency after another, going back to COVID and other things, and he loves to have executive orders as well. Do you think that he wouldn't do something like this? What would it take? I mean, we can look at the financial system and the trade and the, not the trade deficit, but the actual federal government's deficit. And we can see the outlines of a real emergency here. You know, what would Trump do if it were a real emergency? He's had one fake emergency after the other. You don't think they'd try to confiscate this stuff? So again, you know, there are some loopholes that are there. December the 1st saw spot silver trading at a fresh all-time high near $58.50 an ounce. But then it went parabolic, and by the 8th of December, from the 1st of December to the 8th, it had gone from $58.50 to $60 an ounce. Less than 2 weeks later, it was trading above $70, and the price momentum has only steepened since. As of December the 26th, it was trading at $79 per ounce, 70 cents short of the $80 level. And again, I don't know where it is today. I'm not, I don't sit here with my ticker tape, like Scrooge McDuck or whatever. I'm looking at this stuff in terms of long-term trends. Commodity analysts at TD Securities wrote in their 2026 outlook that they expected silver prices to moderate in the mid-40s during the year to come. They wrote, with more than 212 million ounces of silver now likely freely available in the London Metals Exchange vaults, London silver markets have already unwound a year's worth of drain in London inventories. Yet prices have not collapsed post-silver flood, they noted. Lease rates have collapsed from historic levels, but prices have not. Prices have only traded violently near all-time highs, clashing with a statistically significant relationship between commodity volume and inventories. And I don't think that's going to change. BMO Capital Markets said the official 2026 outlook was the bank sees silver prices averaging around $60 an ounce in the fourth quarter of 2026, which they expect will represent the high for the year, but it's already at 80. So BMO sees silver prices averaging $56 an ounce for the year as a whole. Analysts said that while they believe gold's multi-year rally can continue in 2026, we have turned more cautious on other precious metals like silver and platinum in comparison, showing signs of being overbought in recent weeks, they said. Well, who knows? I don't try to predict the prices, and I'm not following these things on a day-to-day basis. I'm not, you know, like, not a day trader in commodities or whatever. I just know what the fundamentals are. And the fundamentals for silver are excellent, with the caveat that if they get too good, the government might steal it, because after all, we do have in Washington a kleptocracy. They'll steal oil tankers. They'll steal your personal car, your home, anything. They don't care. No due process, no constitution. And but again, there is that loophole about gold, because they don't want to raise the red flags. Everybody remembers the gold confiscation, so they back off of that for the moment. Let's get the comments, Travis, before we take a break.
Roger that. We have Clint, 1968. He says, forget China and Russia. It's the American people that are their enemy. They want us all dead or turned into the Borg-like machines.
That's right. Yeah, our biggest enemy is not some foreign government. Our biggest enemy, as Pogo has said, we has met the enemy, and they is us. They is the U.S. government, us, that us, right? I agree.
Hathcar61 says, I'll miss the music played during the breaks, especially the one that ends with your adopted daughter. Up to you, but once in a while during the year, it would be nice to hear this beautiful music. Bless you.
Thank you. Maybe we'll do that. I'm going to try to get some more songs in. It's been really difficult for me to get music done since I had the stroke, but I'm going to try to get some more tunes on a regular basis in the show. Yes.
We have NMAX says, I don't think Bongino left because of conscience. They were losing many voices in social media and probably needed to plant some out there.
Yeah, well, I think he also wants to get off of this sinking ship. He, you know, there's a lot of questions that are going to be asked, and he may still be in the hot seat somehow, but I think he's going to be able to dodge a lot of this stuff, the heat that's coming down the pipeline from the Sepstein stuff. It just keeps building. And I don't think that this is a distraction either, folks. This is a definition of character, the character of the Democrats and the Republicans and of our government in general. That's why this is important. And it's also important because of who you're not allowed to talk about, and that is the intelligence agencies that were allied with Jeffrey Epstein. These are the scumbags and the lowlifes that are constantly running these honeypots for blackmail of people. It's just that's the real issue that's there. It needs to be looked at, yes.
Yes. I was thinking maybe they got too afraid of his kung fu prowess. They couldn't risk having him that close. He was a liability.
Yeah, that's right.
Might just snap and take them all out. Jason Barker. Of course, Jason Barker's parts of Knights of the Storm. You can find their schedule and our schedule and Tony's schedule, many schedules, including Guard Goldsmith's, on their website, knightsofthestorm.com. Says, I would never register my medals. That just lets them know you have them.
Yeah, but the problem is they get registered when they fill out reports and things like that, when you make financial transactions in the banking system. And what we're talking about in terms of getting them graded, that's kind of like my understanding. I've never done it. But my understanding, that'd be kind of like something to do with comic books. We looked at that once because I've got a lot of comic books from the early 60s when I was a kid. And so I learned to read. Anyway, the you can take an old comic book like that, and you can take it to one of these services, and they will grade it and seal it. Which makes it something that is tradable. And so that's what we're talking about with the numismatic stuff. And so what they're saying is if it's a collector coin, then they don't consider it as gold that can be confiscated. That was a loophole during the FDR confiscation, and so be a loophole with the silver confiscation as well. But, yeah, just don't trust government. That's the key thing. So we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, Politico has claimed that the far right has stolen Christmas by daring to call it Christian. Yeah, that's basically what they're saying. Saying that people are using it to talk about the Christian origins of our society, to push the idea that our country needs to be organized around Christian principles. Well, that's great. Just don't miss the Christ in Christmas and the Christ in our culture. That's the key issue there. And so they make this again about left and right. And yet it's about far much more than that, isn't it? You know, when you look at this, and of course people are going to use it for their own benefit. A lot of people use Christmas as an opportunity to make money. That doesn't change. And of course, you know, we don't want to, one of the key things we always wanted to make sure that we didn't do in our family was to, lay down false details and then say, and I'm sticking to that, you know. And one of those false details that's been put in, you know, we talk about things like, you know, whether there was, three kings, or was it a group of wise men or whatever, you know, there's different things like that. So we don't nail down those details and add to it, you know, giving them names and things like that that are not in the Bible. Instead, what we want to do is we want to focus on the central theme that is clear. That is the incarnation of Christ. That is, and the purpose of it. And so with that, we celebrate Christmas, and, you know, we understand that people will add, you know, baggage to it, like politicians are doing, you know, and have people who want to use it for their brand of Christian nationalism. Or you have people who try to use it for commercial purposes. You know, we just look at it and say, well, we want to not have a situation where it is purged out. It's a very important story that's at the center of it. And that's what we don't want to lose, is the center of it. So Politico says, in Europe, far-right parties are claiming the festive season as their own, recasting Christmas as a marker of Christian civilization that is under threat, positioning themselves as the last line of defense against a supposedly hostile secular left. Well, of course, there is a situation in Syria where they were, the government there that Trump was honoring was going around and destroying Christmas trees. They saw them as a threat to them. So there is that, and those types of people are being brought in to Europe, attacks on Christmas markets and so forth. It is very much a part of the season, as one person said. So how is it that, you know, if I sing Christmas carols and put up Christmas trees, how is that a threat to you? That is because we don't have any tolerance anymore. Tim Keller, who died this year, wrote a piece that was republished. It said, Why Christmas Matters. Because it isn't about politics. It's not about social media ratioing. As I pointed out, Politico got really ratioed when they made that ridiculous statement, but isn't about any of that stuff. Tim Keller said, Christmas is not just a moral paradigm, but an historical event that offers a personal relationship with God. It's an invitation to know Christ personally and to draw near to God. He points out, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He said, as we, the lyrics in that, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. He said, incarnation, if you understand that word, you'll understand what Christmas is about. It is frankly doctrinal, he said. The invisible has become visible. The incorporeal has become corporal. In other words, God has become human. This is not only a specific doctrine, but it is also unique. On the one hand, you got religions that say that God is so immanent in all things that incarnation is normal. That would be if you're Buddhist or Hindu. But on the other hand, religions like Islam and Judaism said that God is so transcendent over all things that incarnation is impossible. Christianity is different. It doesn't say incarnation is normal, but it doesn't say that it is impossible. It says that God is so immanent that it is possible. But he is so transcendent that the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ is history-altering, life-transforming, paradigm-shattering event. Christmas is not just frankly doctrinal. It is boldly historical. The manger, the resurrection, the story of Jesus isn't just a story. It's true. And it is historical. And there's many historical markers in it. The point of Christmas is that Jesus Christ really lived, that he really died, that happened in history, and that he said these things. And so you might think, what is the big deal? Doctrine doesn't matter. What it matters is if you're a good person. Well, the irony of it is that that is a doctrine of justification by works. What they're saying is that it doesn't matter that Jesus actually lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died. All that matters is that we follow his teaching. This is a doctrine that says, I'm not so bad. I need someone to come and be good for me. I can be good. I'm not so cut off from God, and God is not so holy that there has to be punishment for sin. The gospel is not that Jesus Christ comes to earth, tells us how to live, and that we live a good life, and then God owes us a blessing. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived the life we should have lived. And he died the death that we should have died. So that when we believe in him, we live a life of grateful joy. That's what Christmas is about. So if these things didn't happen, if they're just parables, then what you're saying is if you try hard enough, God will accept you. You know, that's kind of the message of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, isn't it? Well, if Jesus didn't come, the story of Christmas is one more moral paradigm to crush you. If Jesus didn't come, I wouldn't want to be anywhere around these Christmas stories that say that we need to be sacrificing, that we need to be humble, that we need to be loving, you know, the Dickens approach. All that will do is crush you into the ground, because if it isn't true that God, that John saw him, heard him, felt him, that Jesus really came to do these things, then Christmas would be depressing. If Jesus Christ is actually God come in the flesh, though, you're going to know much more about God. You see him weep. You see him upset. You see him cast down. You see him exalted.
And that's what we've always tried to focus on with Christmas.
That's right.
It's never been about how much stuff you get or all the toys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been about Christ and what
our
he has
understanding
done
will be a lot more personal and specific if we look at it. And so it is an opportunity for us to think about, as he just pointed out, the incarnation and all that entails and why that is necessary. You know, what does a Muslim do with their sin? What does a Jewish person do with their sin? I mean, the temple is gone. There hasn't been any sacrifice for that. Christ is a sacrifice. The temple was a picture of him, just as a tabernacle was. Look at what God has done to get you to know him personally. If his son would do all of this to become a real person, don't you think the Holy Spirit will do anything in his power to make Jesus a real person to you? So Christmas is an invitation. We look at what is happening in Texas. 600 private schools have applied for a new Texas Education Savings Account program. Be very careful of this. They even have one for homeschoolers as well. Be very careful. As I've said to people, and so many people don't understand that this is how the government uses money, especially the federal government, to control you. This is the whole mechanism of the 2020 COVID stuff. The government used, you know, Trump administration used money to bribe and to blackmail people. You know, you do this and we'll give you bonuses in the hospitals if you kill people with this stuff. And on, telling the corporations that if you don't get all of your people vaccinated, we're going to kill your government contract. So they want to get you addicted to government cash. And at first, any of these helping hands from the government, again, you know, the most dangerous words, Reagan got that right, are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. I'm going to help you educate your child. Here's some money. That's going to have some strings attached to it. Maybe not right away, but it'll be down the road. So just be very careful about that. I'm very suspicious about conservatives handing out cash to get you hooked on education. So they're providing grants of about $10,000 to roughly 100,000 students through a pilot program in Texas. And they're going to be focusing on economic thresholds with low-income families, but they think that they're going to have so many people apply that they'll have to have a lottery. So most of this, the $10,000, is going to be for a private school, and that is 85% of the statewide average that they spend on state and local funding for government schools. And so it's kind of interesting. The government schools, they spend on average $12,300. The private schools then will get $10,400, 85% of the government schools. For the homeschoolers, $2,000. That's 17%, one-sixth of the what the government schools get. So just understand that even with that $2,000, they can attach all kinds of strings to it. You'd be very, very careful of it. After thousands of years, and I've seen this now on several different secular sites, after thousands of years, archaeologists think that they finally found Noah's Ark. And this is a site that they've been talking about for decades. What's gotten them really excited is that they have found that it isn't just kind of a geological, you know, formation there in the shape of a boat that maybe is petrified wood or whatever. But as they're looking at the area, they're finding all these pottery fragments that would say that humans were there. So they're very excited about this. You know, I had a pastor once who said, if they went out tomorrow and they found Noah's Ark, he would still have people who would not believe in any of this stuff. They find some other explanation for it. And of course, that's true. You know, we see that with DNA, don't we? We see that with intelligent design, all the microbiology. I mean, we see it with things like the Shroud of Turin. You know, they'll push back on it or they'll find some reason. But, you know, any of these things, it really kind of goes back to what we're talking about with the Dickens story and contrasting that with Christ talking about Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man saying, please let me go back and warn my relatives. I don't want them to suffer this fate. And he's told, he said, well, they've got Moses and the prophets, that they won't listen to them. They won't listen to somebody who comes back from the dead. And if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to somebody, some archaeological nerd who in his short pants, he or she in the short pants and their shovel are going to tell them, hey, we found Noah's Ark. They're not going to listen to that either. So it's really not about that. Now, certainly we find interesting archaeological things that back the Bible up. You know, for the longest time, the criticism against the Bible in the early 1800s was all archaeological. Well, there's no evidence that any of these civilizations ever existed. There's no indication that there was ever a Hittite civilization. Now, it's one of the best known civilizations after archaeology. And we see that, saw that, I took the kids to the British Museum. We're just looking at some movies that we got transferred. And looked at that as we saw all the different things that were the antiquities. And it was just like seeing the Bible spread out in real format there. So it is a very interesting thing. It'd be interesting to see what happens with this. But again, you've got the Bible, folks. Read it. Have a good day. common man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.